normally what we would have is, you know, a worship service, and we have all kinds of preliminaries. Today, the preliminary is me saying, welcome to Apostolic Lighthouse. We have now concluded our preliminaries. Praise the Lord. I'm glad you came, really, in all honesty. We've come here to hear about what God has to say to this people. Amen. The Bible tells us so much about what He is going to do. And what I want to know is what Jesus wants to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. Without any further ado, Brother Dave Robbins, would you please come? Welcome him, would you please?
Well, good evening, everybody. And if I say y'all, it's because we're from way down south. We're from Dallas, Texas, and I'm originally a Hoosier. Most of you would know me through my father-in-law, Irvin Baxter, who was a Hoosier. And started a ministry years ago. In 1986, Irvin Baxter wrote a book, A Message for the President. And in the book, because of the understandings of the prophecies of the Bible, he said that the two Germanys would unite, and the Berlin Wall would come down, the two Germanys would unite, and that would be the catalyst that would launch us into a new world order. 1986. The Berlin Wall came down in 1989, and 19 days later, John Paul II, George H.W. Bush, and Gorbachev came out of their meetings talking about the birth of the new world order. It's exactly what my father-in-law had put in the book 3 years earlier in 1986. And everybody started saying, well, news people started calling him, and the media, and everybody started saying, how in the world did you know that? Because we sent the book to President Reagan, and we got many letters back from him, because President Reagan was a studier of Bible prophecy. And that's really what launched the ministry, 1986. And then we started producing, back then it was cassettes. Everybody remember cassettes way back? Little white cassettes, and then we moved on to VHS, and then we did, now it's DVDs. Now it's beyond DVDs. Everything's electronic. And we went on radio in Dallas in 1998, and that was a blowtorch station. It covered all of Dallas, 60-mile radius, and that's how we launched on radio. It went crazy, and we had our first prophecy conference down there years ago over the Gidrose, and we packed out a college stadium and one of their auditoriums, and the fire chiefs came and locked the doors. We had people sitting all in the foyer. We had people sitting all up top in this big old thing up the stairs. The fire chiefs came and locked the doors, and the police told us they turned away 500 cars that night. Dallas is huge. We just went over 8 million in population in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. And so from that time till now, we went on Radio 98 television in 2009, 2010. All of the Christian networks, TBN, Daystar, and all, Jim Baker, everybody. Yes, that Jim Baker, believe it or not. And he has a television network, PTL. Some of you may watch that. And he reaches a lot of people. And then we're on TCT and Word and different things. So God has given us a huge influence globally. We have a college in downtown Jerusalem. That's going to be, many of you may have invested in that if you follow us at all. And God has helped us to be, we've got a huge reach into Israel in the last times, in these end times. What's going to happen? Jesus warned the Jews in Matthew chapter 24, when you see the abomination of desolation occur, let them which be in Judea, which is the modern day West Bank, let them which be in Judea flee. Well, the Jews don't follow the New Testament. So who's going to warn them? My father-in-law, Irvin Baxter, was on a plane to Israel years ago, and he said, Lord, he took two tours to Israel. Pre-COVID, we took two tours to Israel, usually up to 100 people, because I don't want to take two or three or four buses because it gets too much, two at the max. And some of you have been to Israel with us. This lady sitting right here on the front, she was stuck with us in Israel when the war kicked off in October. We had a tour group there. I'll tell you a little bit about that in the morning. But my father-in-law was on the way to Israel on one of his trips, and he said, Lord, the Jews don't follow the New Testament. You warned them in Matthew 24. Who's going to warn them? And the Lord spoke back to him and said, I've given you a global platform. You're going to warn them. I've given you a radio, television, global magazine. And he said, but I don't know Hebrew. And he started throwing excuses up at the Lord. And the Lord said, again, I've given you this global platform. You're going to warn them. So, as a result of that conversation, we established a college in downtown Jerusalem. Every Thursday morning, I teach a class full of Jews Bible prophecy from our studios in Dallas. And we've got cameras and big TV sets and everything set up over there. And I can teach the class and I can see them. They can see me just like I was standing here tonight. No, zero latency. And I can call, hey, Zipporah and Elisheba. And we banter back and forth like we will tonight. And so it's a great time. God's helped us with many things. And so I'm very thankful for that. So my father-in-law passed away November 3rd, Election Day, 2020, from a blood clot. COVID took him. And so when he passed, our family really had been prepared for years to take over the ministry. And our media buyers have told us, you guys get ready. You're going to take like a 50 or 60% dip. And whenever the host of the program, the guy that starts everything, when he passes, they always dip down and sometimes they go away. We've never experienced that at all. Never. And our media buyers are like, what in the world's going on? You guys are a complete anomaly. And I've had to explain to them over and over, look, God started this whole thing. Irvin Baxter was a tool that was used by God. But God knew before he created this world that he was going to take Irvin Baxter on November 3rd, 2020. And so we've never experienced the dip like they say you're supposed to experience, because God has blessed us immensely, and we're reaching people literally all over the world. And we've reached them. We've been reaching people for, we started the magazine in 91, and we've been reaching people for teaching and preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, because the end time is now, since then. And I have seen many people. I've sent people to missionaries overseas for years and years. And so God is helping us to build his kingdom. That's what we're here to do. So, okay, number one, let's all stand. And I want to give a hand clap to the most important individual in this room, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for being here with us. I love you and I praise you. Lord, I exalt your holy name. We're here to lift you up tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. I worship and praise you, and we exalt you tonight. We're here to lift up your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, now, please be seated. He's worth it, isn't he? Now, I want to thank the second most important person in this room, and that's your pastor here. Pastor Greeley, thank you and his lovely wife for having us up here. And I don't see his wife she's back here. So thank you all for having us up here. I've never been, this is my first time in Connecticut. It's one of the only very few states that I have not been in. And so this is my first time here, and hopefully not our last time. And we've been, it's because we need to reach everybody with this message, because we certainly are in the end time. By the end of this weekend, you're going to see that, and you'll understand it. Tonight, I'll be teaching through a lesson, Green Horseman, and World War III. Tomorrow morning, I'll be giving you breaking prophecy news, things that are happening in the news right now, showing you how prophecies that were given 2,000 to 2,500 years ago are coming to pass right now, and we are just prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ. You say, Dave, I've heard that for years. I've heard of 88 reasons why God's going to come in 88, and 1988, and Y2K, we were scared to death, but it didn't happen then. Well, I'm not here to do that. I'm here to prove to you how fast things are progressing, because when my father-in-law passed in November 3rd, 2020, there are things that are happening now that we never even had a discussion about. We didn't know about them just over 3 years ago. And so we never had a discussion on central bank digital currencies and things like that, things that they are pushing so fast now. And so in the morning, I'll be talking to you about some of them, the six major things that you should be watching for right now, because everybody in here has friends, family, and a sphere of influence, everybody. And you are chosen by God to be the ambassador to them. Some of them may never hear my voice. Some of them may never meet Pastor Greeley. I hope that they do. But everybody in here, the people you work with, the librarian at your school, the people that serve you at the restaurant by your home, your family that comes over to your house for Thanksgiving. I may never meet any of them. God chose you to be the ambassador to them. So the Bible says that during the time of the Antichrist, they that do know their God will be strong and do exploits, and they that understand among the people will instruct many. That's the goal of the church in the end time. Whether Jesus Christ comes back tomorrow or whether he comes back 20 years from now, your job is to teach and preach the gospel of the kingdom of God to every person in your sphere of influence, because the end time is now. They were preaching that the end time was now back in Jesus' time. Because in every one of their lives, none of them had very long. If they all lived to be 100, it's just like that. Okay? I'm 55, and I realize that now. When I was 18, I thought, I've got light years to live. But now I'm 55, and I mean, it's clipping off. The check engine light's starting to pop on every once in a while. And I'm like, what in the world's going on here? A few years ago, none of this was happening. Now, they tell me high blood pressure, and now you might be a diabetic, and all this other stuff, and I'm like, that's the other guy that was here before me. That's not me. But the thing is that none of us, God could come back for anyone in here tonight. You understand? None of us are promised tomorrow. Say, Dave, you're trying to scare me. My goal here tonight and tomorrow morning is not to scare you. It's to bring you into a sense of reality, that this is life. And we need to prepare. The Bible says this is the day of salvation. It's not, well, you know, I may come to a church in 10 years. You don't know that you have 10 years. Let's just be honest. And so the fact of the matter is that we want to prepare you. I'm here. I've taught hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of end time Bible studies. And in all of them, I've told them, I'm here to prepare you mentally and physically for the times just ahead and spiritually for eternity. That was my job. And that's what I do on the radio and television and on a magazine and everything every day. So that's my goal here this weekend. I'll go through that in the morning. Then we'll have a time of Q&A. We'll wrap up tomorrow. Starts at 11. So this is my official invitation for you to come back here in the morning. It'll be totally different in the morning than it is tonight. And then we'll have a time of Q&A where the audience and I will banter back and forth. And we'll try to, if we can't have one of these roving mics, I'll have you come up here, ask your question. And we'll banter back and forth. And it is a blast. You'll see how it goes in the morning. It's a lot of fun. I've done them for years. My father-in-law did them for decades. And so that's what we'll do in the morning. It's a great time, and that'll wrap up the weekend. So you're going to see that as I go through here, I'm going to be hitting the treetops. I'll talk about prophecies, but there's no way I could do a deep dive into every one of these. It's impossible. That's why this church will set up a Bible study, and that's what I want to talk to you about right now. So, everyone, grab a magazine. There should be a magazine on your chair. Grab one of the magazines, hold it up. Turn to the middle where you see this envelope, because I'm going to collect these envelopes here. Very, very important. If you don't have a magazine, there should be a stack of them in the back. You got your magazine, hold it up. Hold them all up. Okay, good. There should be some extra ones in some chairs. Grab them. Turn to the envelope in the middle. I'm going to go through that really quick. Number one, I'm going to collect these envelopes. So take the envelope out of the magazine. I want you to take the magazine home. This magazine is different than the magazine that we publish bi-monthly, End Time Magazine. This is different. This has got some of the most important articles that we've ever published in this magazine. So take the envelope out very carefully. Just kind of peel it around the staples. But take the magazine home with you, okay? Very important. Number one, in the envelope, open it up. There's a place to partner with End Time Ministries. End Time is a partner-supported ministry. And so we have a global reach all over the world, literally. And there are a lot of people that are interested in reaching the world. End Time, partnering with End Time is a fabulous way to do that. I'm reaching into places that some churches may not be able to go. And I'm in the media world. I'm in the television world and the radio world and things like that. And what our goal is to do is to establish, and God has helped us to do this, to establish a vast radio television audience and then to plant them in good Bible-believing, Bible-teaching churches. Because there are things being taught on TV and on the radio that I can't even listen to it. It's so bad. And there are false narratives being pushed. There are agendas being pushed. And they're trying to silence the conservative voice in America. If you haven't seen how people have been censored, you haven't been listening to anything or following the news. End Time Ministries was just we had a giant presence on YouTube, and they just demonetized our entire YouTube channel forever. the week after they did ours, which means we still have a YouTube presence, but we can't make any money off of all of our YouTube videos that we posted for years and years. We were, at the very beginning, we started posting on YouTube and about all that content up there. We were making a monthly check, and that just got cut about a month ago. And the week after they did it to us, they did it to Glenn Beck. Same thing. And so they've been censoring Dennis Prager, Ben Shapiro, Tucker Carlson, all these guys. Our media in America, 90% of it is controlled by five companies. And they're all agenda-driven. They're all woke companies. And the other 10%, they're trying to silence their voice. It's like the old book burnings in Germany in World War II. Anything that was un-German that did not promote Hitler's narrative, they would burn the books. There were propaganda radio stations on the radio. And if you were caught listening to anything besides those propaganda stations, you were taken before the Gestapo. That's what they're trying to do in the United States of America in 2024. They want you to hear their false narratives and their spin and nothing else, because they're trying to indoctrinate you. Well, we're one of the conservative entities that they're trying to censor heavily. And so, but that's not going to happen, because when Satan closes a door, we found that God opens 100 others. And so, keep us in, amen. God's with us. He's helping us. And we're actually growing immensely. And so, it's almost comical to me, because I'm sitting there watching what Satan's trying to do, and God's like, Satan, I'm 100,000 steps ahead of you. Just, you know. Anyway, we're watching it. So, a place to partner with us here. Some people partner with us. I had a guy send me 3 dimes the other day and said, help me reach somebody in prison. Because we send hundreds of thousands of dollars of magazines and DVDs, and we've sent manuals. We've sent all kinds of stuff into prisoners. Because the Lord said, I was in prison and you visited me not, right? We don't write off the people in prisons. And so we have a lady on our staff that works with the prisoners. We've got full-on churches going on in prison, and they use our end-time magazines and different material to preach from. Because these guys, they're not able to just watch any television program they want. So somebody's got to reach these guys. And so I've met with many of them, and the churches are working with them. And there's been, I don't know how many we've seen baptized. It's just crazy. So I'm reaching everybody. I don't care if somebody's in the gutter or they live up on Henley Hill somewhere. I'm trying to reach everybody in between. It doesn't matter what color you are. It's irrelevant. Doesn't matter what your background is, how much money you have, how educated or uneducated, where you live. That's irrelevant to me. I don't care. Come one, come all. Because if you've got a soul, that's what I'm interested in. The Bible says man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And if you've got a soul, come. We will teach you. I've got to introduce you to Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying, I know I'm preaching kind of the choir here tonight, but I'm saying your sphere of influence. That's why this stuff's so important. So partner with End Time Ministries. There's a place to do that. Number two, subscribe to End Time Magazine. End Time, to my knowledge, is the most widely read prophecy periodical on the planet. And it's a very influential magazine, has been. It's a way to keep you up to date on what's going on. It looks like this, but it's not this mag. This is a conference mag. But I have several articles that help me write. And it keeps you up to date on what's going on. Back in 2005, when President Bush signed the Real ID Act, basically turning our driver's license into a national ID, we pushed against that, pushing against it. And what we did was our partners started subscribing all of Congress, every president, the Speaker of the House, the Secretary of State, Tucker Carlson, Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity, all the movers and shakers in the news, in the news media, they're subscribed to our magazine bimonthly and have been since 2005. And I've got signed books. We've got letters back from them for years. And I've only had one person ever that sent a letter and said, "Don't ever send this magazine to us again," and that was Paul Ryan, the ex-Speaker of the House, which was supposed to be a Republican. But he was capital R-I-N-O, Republican in name only. And that means we stopped sending it to him, right? Of course not. We send it every time. I'm a free United States American, a citizen of the United States of America. So, no, we send it to him every time until he finally got out of office. Anyway, So if you like to subscribe to End Time Magazine, it's blood, sweat, and tears every other month. But it keeps you up to date on what's going on. It's been very influential. A lot of people get theirs. Well, a lot of churches will get a bulk roll, 20, and put them in their laundry mats and doctor's offices and dentist offices all over their city with their church sticker on the back. It's really cool. We've got people that's their ministry. They'll get a bulk roll of 50, put a sticker, hey, here's where my church is. You want to learn more about this? And so it's a ministry to people. And so it's very cool. End Time Magazine. Two more things. The bottom right-hand side here, there's two red sentences. I would like to receive End Time's e-weekly newsletter. Every week, our staff puts together news clips, video clips, articles and different things from that week, showing you how, using current events, showing you how prophecies are coming to pass right now. And so we send out tens and tens and tens of thousands of these every Friday morning. And it's free, no charge. And so if you would like to receive that, check the box there. I'd like to receive this e-weekly newsletter. And then fill in your information to the left. Like your name and everything. And no, I'm not going to sell that to the United Nations someday. We will never sell our database list. Believe me, I've had many people try to buy that. But if you're a doctor in here and you want to receive the email, let your wife fill that in. Because I've got to be able to read it when we get back to the office, okay? And I've never seen a doctor's signature that we could read yet. So have your wife fill in your email there. Yes, we want to receive this. Number two, and this is the final thing. I want to join an End Time Bible study. It's a second red sentence on the bottom right-hand side. And by the end of this weekend, you'll see how important this is. This church has been, and thank you, Pastor, because this is so critical for this area. Because I know the major religions that control a lot of this area. You guys probably already know that. I don't have to name all that. And a lot of them are going up into the world religious system as we speak. And the central bank digital currencies, the world government, the Israeli-Palestinian peace agreement, World War III, all of these things you need to understand about that. This weekend, I'm going to hit the very treetops of it. I'm going to be really rolling here. You think I'm talking fast now, get ready. And so the church here for years, I mean, we've done it in our church since 1999. And I see Calvin Bales here. He went to our church in Garland, Texas. Good to see you again, my friend. But we've done it in our church since 1999. In 1995, our church ran 150. Now it's just over 1,200. And a lot of those people were saved through End Time Bible studies. So you say, Dave, you talked too fast this weekend. I really couldn't grasp everything. Well, what we want to do is this church is establishing a Bible study that they will hold here in this church. It's going to start this Tuesday at 7 o'clock, March 26th. And they're going to cover, for years ago, we produced the Understanding the End Time 1 through 14. A lot of people have said nobody can understand these Bible prophecies, but Daniel, Jesus, the Apostle Paul, and John all said you can understand these things. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the man, for it's the number of the mark of the beast. And so we put together the Understanding the End Time, and this church has been so gracious to offer this Bible study for free here. You can come and join the Bible study. It'll start this Tuesday at 7 o'clock, and it'll go continuous Tuesdays. It'll continue on until you complete the course. And if you say, well, I already understand Bible prophecy, you might. If you've never been through this course, it would at least help you to maybe get some further understanding of some of the things you may not understand right now. Because they're trying to do some things to America that we really can't allow them to do. There are some do's and don'ts in the end time. Things you absolutely have to be a part of and things you cannot be a part of no matter what. They're of eternal consequence. So this Bible study will help you walk through these things, preparing you mentally and physically for the times just ahead. One of the most prominent questions I get at end time right now is, how do I prepare for the end time? And we're going to have a Q&A session in the morning. We believe in a post-tribulation rapture. In other words, the church will be here all the way through. If you don't agree with that, that's fine. I've got pastor friends that don't agree with me. In my opinion, I believe I can prove that the church will go all the way through. People act on what they believe, right? If I told you this building was on fire and then I kept teaching, you'd say, I thought he said the building was on fire. But nobody would get up and run out. But if I get up and I say the building's on fire and I hit for the door, or I go back there to grab my wife and get out the front door, and then you see smoke coming in that door, we're probably going to get up and get out of here, right? So people act on what they believe. And so these Bible studies will help you because you are being indoctrinated. If you don't know that, you're not following the news. You're being indoctrinated. Your kids are being indoctrinated in schools. Socialism, LGBTQ issues, abortion, premarital sex, you name it. They're pushing these things on our children. And so, drag queen hour and all this other junk. Boys can go into girls' locker rooms. You guys surely have heard about all this. Okay, these are some of the things that we can't participate in that. Who's going to take a stand? You act on what you believe, right? But you're being indoctrinated that all that stuff's okay. Now you know why we're being censored. Because they do not want us talking about this stuff. They don't want us talking about Leah Thomas going and changing in college girls' locker rooms. Had I been one of them girls' dad, that's not going to happen with me. And I'm a Christian minister. But I told my wife, if anybody tries to go in the bathroom with you and they got bigger hands than I do, that's not going to happen. Okay, we got to move on, Pastor Bob. I got to stay on politics and get on prophecy here. Anyway, now you know why we're being censored. That's my radio program. Not every day, but a lot of it. Okay, so the Bible study coming up. Very, very important. These guys are going to take you through these things. It's brand new. Nobody in here has ever been through it before. We've updated it. We got the products in last June. He already has the new stuff. You guys are going to show the brand new stuff starting this Tuesday, and they're not going to charge you anything. So if you got something planned on Tuesdays, cancel it. Come to the Bible study. Because how is your friends, family, and sphere of influence going to know about this stuff unless you teach them? Okay? So you come and get somebody to come with you. There could be 100 people at this Bible study, and that would be awesome. That should happen. With this size of, with this crowd, man, it'd be awesome Bible study. So, looking forward to that. And so, check the box. I want to do that, and I'll collect these envelopes here in just a little bit. Pull the envelope out. Keep the magazine. We want to give that to you. Some very important things. Okay, here we go. Again, I'm hitting the treetops here because I want to make sure. Just hold where you guys are at. There you go. Now we'll move as I go. So again, I'm hitting the treetops here. I'm going to teach you a lesson, I'm hitting the treetops on these prophecies. The Bible study will slow way down, and it'll deep dive into all these. I can document everything I'm telling you tonight. I won't be able to do that in the hour and a half that I have left. I'm going to cram a 2.5-hour lesson into an hour and a half. My goal is to get you, that clock's right, isn't it? I'm going to get you guys out of here by 8 o'clock. I'll do my best. Okay? So I'm going to be rolling. The Bible study will die. I will never go on there. I've been going on the radio and TV for years. We never go on there unless I can document every point. I have to reprove everything we teach every day. People will call me. You said this, but I've never seen that in the news. I'm like, well, check X website. Go to this dictionary. You know what these things are called? Books. You guys remember what books are? Everybody goes to the internet and they say, well, I've never seen that on the internet. Well, you've got to read books besides the internet, guys, if you're going to be in the know. A lot of people put stuff in their book that never goes on the internet. And many times, it's the most important information. So I have some literary heroes, and a lot of that stuff's not on the internet because it's been shadow banned and they're on Facebook, and Google has pushed it back to page number 97. Nobody ever goes back there. So you got to still read books. The internet's awesome and cool, and everything's at your fingertips. But you don't get all your information from the internet, guys. People can put up anything they want up there, and yikes, scary. Go read some books where people have went through and documented. Go to the academic stuff and where somebody's documented it, and you know what these people. Get some literary heroes where you know what these guys are saying is true. Well, that's what we are with radio and television. I've put out End Time Magazine to all of the leaders in America since 2005. We've put it out since 91, and I've never had to offer one retraction ever in all of the articles we've ever written. And so you say, well, that's because you guys are super smart. No, that's because God's behind all this, everything we're doing. And so I'm very, very thankful for that. So in this lesson, I'm going to be hitting the treetops of some stuff, but you can take it to the bank that I've documented everything in this lesson. And when you come to the Bible studies, you'll see that we'll give documentation for everything. Okay? So, here we go, guys. For years now, I have my lesson tonight. Go ahead and advance one there. And I'll make sure I go up like this, that way you guys make sure you see me. Because a lot of times I'll just want to scoot it over, and that's my fault. It's not your fault. So these guys will do a good job, and we'll work together. Okay, so what's going on in the Middle East? Because I want to talk to you about a lesson tonight that shows us that we're just prior to the beginning of the Great Tribulation. You say, well, Dave, I've heard all this before, and you know, I've been to other prophecy conferences, and back in 1967, and they said Jesus Christ was coming tonight. I'm not here to tell you Jesus Christ is coming tonight. He's not. He could come for any one of you individually. But I don't believe the rapture can happen tonight. I don't want it to. You say, oh, you're messing with my theology and my eschatology. I still have loved ones that are not saved. So, I'm kind of torn. I want it to happen tonight, but on the other hand, I don't. Because I want them to have more of an opportunity to be saved. I've been witnessing to them and I've been talking to them, but they're not in yet. And so I'm torn. Do I want the rapture to happen tonight or not? Because there's still a lot of people in this world that I want to reach. So I'm torn. I'll put it like that. I'd love for it to happen for my sake and my wife and you, and you know, everybody that's born again. But those that are not ready to go, Lord, hold off just a little bit. I'm still working on so-and-so. We're working on these people, okay? So now you understand what I'm saying here. But I want to talk to you at a lesson tonight that kind of shows you where we're at on this giant timeline. From the Old Testament prophets to Revelation 22, God's given us a timeline of events to follow. I don't watch the stars and the moon and the sun. Okay? I'm not worried about the next eclipse on April 8th. A lot of people are online saying Jesus is coming, there's going to be a great economic collapse, and it's the judgment of the United States. I don't necessarily believe any of that. I'm watching the timeline of events, the things I can prove. Now, when some of those things happen, when Jesus comes back, yes, the moon will turn to blood, the moon won't give her light, the stars will fall from heaven. That's what will happen when Jesus Christ comes back. What am I looking for? All that stuff to happen? No. I'm looking for Jesus Christ to come back. I'm looking at the events. That's what you need to be watching for. Okay, it's the timeline of events. So I'm going to kind of give you an idea where we're at on this timeline of events with this lesson. So, Iran's sixth front Israel threat. Actually, it's seven now. What's happening in the Middle East right now with Israel? So, for several years, I know the Bible prophesies World War III is going to emanate from the Euphrates River region. Loose the four angels bound in the great river Euphrates. It's Revelation chapter 9, verse 13 through 21. For those of you, I see y'all taking notes and things, that's good. So for those that are taking notes, World War III, we'll get there. So, for years, I keep an eagle eye on the Euphrates River region. It's housed in Turkey, Syria, Iraq, and Iran. Four nations. The Bible says, lose the four angels bound in the great river Euphrates. There's four nations that houses the Euphrates. So I watched it like a hawk. A lot of people have said, well, World War III began with Russia and Ukraine. I don't necessarily believe that. Because the Bible says it's going to emanate from the Euphrates River region. That could all tie in together and be part of World War III, but I don't believe it began with that. What about Russia or China and Taiwan? I watched that, but I'm also keeping an eagle eye on the Euphrates River region. Turkey, Syria, Iraq, and Iran. Because that's where the Bible says that World War III will originate. Okay? So I've been watching what's going on. My father-in-law watched it all the way back from when the Ayatollahs took over Iran. You know, Iran used to be an ally of the United States. It seems impossible now, right? But way back in the day, they were an ally of ours. But when the Ayatollahs took over in the late 70s, now they're trying to destroy the United States. And I'll be talking to you about that towards the end of this lesson. So for several years, I've been watching Iran surround Israel with their terrorist proxies. And you guys would recognize them from the news. Iran's the head of the snake. You've got Hezbollah north in Lebanon. These are entities that Iran pays to be terrorist organizations. They're terrorist proxies. They're fighting a proxy war with Israel. You've got the Palestinian Islamic Jihad and the Hamas in the south in Gaza. They're the ones that invaded on October 7th when my tour group was there. The morning of October 7th, me and my wife and our tour group was up on Mount Masada down in the Jordan Valley, and we heard all these big bombs go off, didn't we, Michaela? It was insane. She was there with us. I mean, it was crazy. So Hamas are the ones that invaded from Gaza on October 7th. You've got the Houthis down in Yemen. And then you've got terrorist proxies in Saudi Arabia and, or I'm not sorry, not Saudi Arabia, in Syria and Iraq. They're the ones that when Hamas invaded, those terrorist proxies started hitting our military, the United States military installations. And I'll tell you why before we're done tonight. So, and then, of course, the head of the head of the snake, which is Iran. So Israel's fighting a seven-front war as we sit here tonight. And our president is trying to force them into a ceasefire. That's anti-Semitic. That's the worst thing you could do is do a ceasefire right now. But our president, who claims to be pro-Israel, is trying to force them into a ceasefire as we speak. So this is what's going on in the news. Along with this, Iran has expanded its precision-guided missile project throughout the Middle East in order to create like a ring of fire around the state of Israel. There's missiles all the way around that are pointed at Israel. Okay? And what they've said is, a few years ago, this was in December of 2021. So this didn't start happening yesterday. And you're going to understand why Iran's doing this before we get done tonight. The Tehran Times, which would be like our New York Times here in America, the Tehran Times said, hey, the title of the article was Just One Wrong Move. All of these little red dots that you see here are targets that Iran has said, we've got missiles pointed at these. They've got hundreds of thousands of missiles in Lebanon. So what happens is what's happening is that Lebanon has not really started an invasion like Hamas did from Gaza in the south. And because Hamas was given the green light by Iran to do that. They're terrorist proxies. Iran supports them financially. So they were given the green light to go in and invade on October 7th. Hezbollah has been given the green light to invade. Hezbollah is much bigger and much more militarily armed, missiles and different things, than Hamas. Hamas is minuscule compared to Hezbollah in the north. Hezbollah has just been given the green light to attack if we go into Rafah down in the south. Israel has fought their way all the way down through Gaza. Now they're down in the very last corner of Gaza right now, and that's the city of Rafah. And they're wanting to go in there because that's where the rest of the hostages are that they took on October 7th, and that's where most of the last great holdout of the terrorists. I have a friend that has just become a general during all of this. He's down there right now, and he told our missionary, he said, I don't know how many terrorists I've killed. I was killing since day one. They've just been fighting. They have to. Imagine from a secular standpoint, step back out of the Christian mode right now, and imagine from a secular standpoint, imagine if we had Russia invading from Mexico right now. What would we have to do? We'd have to attack. We'd have to counterattack and drive them back, right? Or else they're just going to take over. Well, that's what's happening in Israel right now. Our government's getting them. That would be like our president saying, ceasefire on the United States, even though Russia's right down here. It's total nonsense. Anyway, I'm going to try to stay off politics and try to stay on prophecy. But the problem is our radio program used to be called Politics and Religion, so it's almost impossible. So that's just part of it. So anyway, this is what's going on. The Tehran Times has said, okay, if you guys go into Rafah, which is the last great holdout, then we're going to send Hezbollah in Lebanon has been given the green light to go in. And in 2021, all of these red dots, this is all of Israel, they've said these are the targets that we have missiles pointed at. They've got much more powerful missiles than Hamas. So imagine being Israel, which is about the size of Rhode Island, very small. You can sit several Israels in the state of Texas. I think it's like 13. So Israel is about, I think it's 250 miles by about 60 miles wide. That's it. That's the nation of Israel. That's not the entire promised land. That's just a little sliver they've been given by the United Nations at this point. In the millennial reign, they'll inhabit the entire promised land. But at this point, this is all they have. So it's a one-bomb nation. One nuclear weapon over Tel Aviv and Haifa, and it blows across Jerusalem. Israel's a one-bomb nation, and they know that. And so that's why they have the Samson option. Israel has 200 nuclear weapons, And remember Samson, he put his hands on the pillars and the whole thing came down with him. They say, if we go down, everybody's going down with us. That's probably going to be the Battle of Armageddon. You'll learn that in the Bible study. Okay? So, this is where we're living right now. Remember that map. Now, what happened on October 7th when Michaela and we were there at 6:30 in the morning? We were up on Masada. Who said that? Thank you. It left me. We were up on Masada, and at 6:30 a.m., October 7th, Hamas, which again was the Iran-backed terrorist group, they launched an unprovoked, vicious surprise attack on over 20 communities. They came in by boats, gyrocopters, motorcycles, jeeps, air, land, and sea. They came in with rubber boats through the Mediterranean Sea, and they killed just over, it's now about 1,250 innocent people. 30 of them were Americans. They injured 5,400 people, and they abducted, I think it's about 241 hostages now is what they're saying in the news. And they killed people in the most horrific things you could imagine. I've got a friend of mine who was born again. He lives in Bethlehem. And he said that the worst thing he has seen, this is the only thing I'm going to tell you, I won't talk about the rapes and all that stuff, but he said they went into what was looked like a daycare, and they could not tell which baby's head went which baby. They just gutted them, and it's the worst thing he has seen. Well, now you know why he's killing every terrorist he can even get a shot at. He's worked his way all the way from day one. Day one, he was called down. Our guide that was with us in Israel, he's ex-Navy SEAL for the IDF. He went down. It would be Israel's version of our United States Navy SEAL. His three boys were called up day one. By the time we got down off of Masada and made it back to the hotel, all three of his boys were called down there, and they've been fighting since day one. Our guide is 67, and when you go into the IDF, you never really leave unless you can't go anymore. Ito, when we left our tour group, he wanted to go fight. They wouldn't let him because he's 67, he's past 60. And so he went down in an advisory position at 67 years old to help those guys down there in their mission. We had a guide named Ron who, when we take a second bus, we got a second guide. He's 73, and he asked them to let him, he wanted to go fight and in their army. Now imagine that. And so they never really get out. Well, this is kind of what Israel's been dealing with since October 7th. And in the morning, I'll tell you the main two reasons why Hamas invaded, and they're both very prophetic. We'll talk about that in the morning, the Red Heifer and the Saudi Arabia normalization deal with Israel. We'll talk about that in the morning. I'll give you a little heads up on that. Tomorrow morning is just going to be clips. I'll be going real fast, and we'll be talking about different things going on in the news. All of the major news stories on the planet right now have to deal with Bible prophecy. All of them. But some people still say, "Man, we're not living in the end time." I mean, come on, now, Dave. No. My father-in-law told me when he started studying this stuff in the mid-60s, he said, "Dave, I had to look." He said, I was subscribed to every periodical. He subscribed to the Jerusalem Post. He said, I was getting Newsweek and Time Magazine, everything I get my hands on. And he said, I would have to look and look and look. And he said, finally, I would find something that had to do with Bible prophecy. But now you can give me pretty much any major news source on the planet, and I can find you several articles that have to do with Bible prophecy in there. I've done it. I do it. Matter of fact, I do it on a daily basis. I have about 40 different news sites that I go to on a regular basis, and I can find prophecy in all of them. And so it's pretty amazing to see that. It was not possible back in the mid-60s. Things are clipping off. You'll learn in the Bible study that the first five trumpets that was of the seven trumpets in the book of Revelation, the first five trumpets have occurred in just over the last 110 years. It's a 2,000-year-old prophecy, but some people still think we're not in the end time yet. I'm like, what do you need to... It's only because they don't understand. That's it. Because these things are clipping off so fast. So the struggle between Israel and not just Hamas. Remember, Israel's fighting a seven-front war here. Regionally with Iran, but globally in the pro-Palestinian protest, has suddenly riveted the world's attention on Islam, right? Just the other day, Doug Norvell, some of you that watch our television radio program, he's not on television yet, watch our radio program live streamed in the afternoons. Doug Norvell and I, just about a mile from my End Time television studio, is a corporation, many of you have heard them, it's called Raytheon. Raytheon is part of the military-industrial complex, and they're supplying Israel with military implements. Well, there are huge Palestinian uprisings. One of the two major Islamic control centers in America, the number one is in Dearborn, Michigan. Henry Ford brought all those guys in there because he was very anti-Semitic. I don't know if you guys are Ford guys. I drive a Ford pickup truck. I didn't know that. I still probably would have bought it because I like Ford. But anyway, he brought all those Muslims up there. And you go to Dearborn, Michigan, and it looks like Iran. Their gas stations have Muslim names. I mean, grocery stores. You drive down through there, Dearborn, Michigan. The second largest is in Richardson, Texas, where I live. Okay? And they got a giant mosque. There are Muslims everywhere. Well, in front of Raytheon, just, 2 weeks ago, they had a giant protest. And there were up to 400 to 500 Palestinians out there with flags waving, stop arming Israel, stop the genocide, and stop Israel's genocide and all this stuff, even though they're not committing genocide. But the world's attention is riveted on Islam now. We used to be scared of socialism. Now a lot of people are scared of the green color, Islam. And that's what my whole message is about tonight. Because Islam is the last spirit to arise before the Great Tribulation. What I said I was going to do, I said I was going to help you where we're at on this timeline. Okay? And you're going to see that as we go along here. So, with all of this going on in the world, give me one more slide there, guys. With all of this going on in the world, through the eyes of biblical prophetic perspective, okay? Not from a secular, because I have been on many radio and television programs with a lot of these guys. Ashley's helped me with that. And a lot of these guys they look at it, Glenn Beck, he's a perfect example. He looks at all of this through a secular viewpoint. He's got a secular lens. How can I figure this out? Let's go to a dictionary. Let's go to this guy. Let's interview this guy. They do not look at it from a prophetic perspective, very seldom. And if they do, it's a skewed view. So that's why I want to be on his program someday, Ashley. Hint. And so many others. I want to be on Alex Jones and Dennis Prager and all those guys. Tucker Carlson. Anyway, I've been on a lot of them. I've been on with Grant Stinchfield, who was Newsmax's number one guy there for a long time. I was on with him, and he really didn't even know what to ask me. Many a times when I go on these radio and television programs, I got to send them a list of questions to ask me when I'm on the program because they really don't know. They're looking at it from a secular viewpoint. And if you do that, you're going to be stuck. All you can do is say, well, history tells us this, and this guy, this book says this, and this, I mean, and we're repeating history, but they really don't get it. What's really going on? So what I want to do is to help you look at what's going on in the Middle East through the eye from a biblical prophetic perspective, because that's what's going to fill in a lot of the gaps for you. And that's really what now imagine, this is one lesson, imagine what the Bible study will do. World government, modern nations in the Bible, all these things, because we're living through this stuff. The Bible study is very, very critical. So here's the questions. Is Islam mentioned in the prophecies of the Bible? Number two, will this current conflict, will that start World War III? Okay. Number three, will the hundreds of thousands protesting against Israel and increased Islamic support around the globe, does that mean Islam's going to rule the world in the end time? The Bible answers these questions for us. Okay. And number four, will Iran realize its global vision and eradicate Israel and Zionism and the United States from the Middle East and the world? Because they're religiously bound to do that. It's not just the Israel. Israel's the first step, you guys. They want to do here what happened over there on October 7th, but on a much more grander scale. On October 7th, what's the two entities they attacked? They attacked Israel and our military installations in Syria and Iraq. Remember that? And it was kind of brushed under the rug by some of the media. And guess what? Many times, what we should have did is went after the head of the snake, Iran. But we were bombing these little terrorists. It was like if in prison, you know what a shot caller is. He's the guy that sends out the guys to put in work, right? So when you fight the guy that's putting in work, you're really not hitting the head of the snake, the guy that sent him to do that. That's Iran. So our government, because somehow Joe Biden, they've got a noose around his neck, somehow, some way, because in the midst of all of this, he's lifting sanctions off of Iran, and tens of billions of dollars are flowing into the coffers of Iran. And guess what they're doing with that money? They're helping out their people and helping them to have a better life, right? No. They're the number one sponsor of terrorism on the planet. So all of the money, we're lifting sanctions, billions of dollars is flowing into their coffers, and it's going right to support the people that are attacking Israel and the United States. They're bringing in their terrorist proxies. Of course, they can't get them across our southern border because our southern border is closed, right? No, I live in Texas. I just did a prophecy conference for a guy in Weslaco, Texas. When Donald Trump went down to see, when he was in office, when he flew down there to see the border, he flew into McLaughlin Airport. That's where we flow into to go to this conference. Brother Trevino, totally Hispanic church. Me and my wife are the only white people in the whole place, and it's a blast. You just got to go do it. It's so good. They're just great people. They don't like what's going on because Brother Trevino took me down there to where the buses are, and there are churches. I'm not going to tell you the church organization, but there are churches that are supporting this, and they're giving them the money and allowing them to stay in some of their facilities. Then they're putting them on buses, and they're shipping them out all over the United States. He took me down there, and he said 24/7 these people are running these buses, and they're shipping people in. Nobody's vetted. Most of them are military-aged men, and they're coming in from places all over the world, thousands and thousands of Chinese. So the Chinese want to invade America. They said they'd do it years ago without firing a shot, right? The Chinese and the Japanese, all of them. Well, guess what? If you want to invade a country and you can't defeat them militarily, what if you could set up your military in their country and then walk across your border and nobody says a word about it? Oh, man, I got to get back on prophecy. That's political. That's political. I got to get back on prophecy. I don't want to tell you guys too much because I don't want the stormtrooper storming the front door, right? So you guys aren't live streaming this, are you? Okay, good. Because by the time of the end, Pastor, we might be running for the hotel or whatever. You get up out of here. Anyway, so let's answer some of these questions. Islam and Bible prophecy. The four horsemen of the apocalypse. I have seen movies. I've had people send me videos, books, everything on the four horsemen are four horses with riders that will ride across the land and kill everybody someday. None of that's true. That's not going to happen. You guys have to understand really what's going on with these prophecies. The four horsemen of the apocalypse, Revelation 6, 1 through 8. John said, I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, behold, a white horse. And when he opened a second seal, there was a red horse. When he opened a third seal, there was a black horse. And when he opened the fourth seal, I looked and behold, there was a pale horse. So there were four horses. White, red, black, green. Give me one more. There you go. Four horses, white, red, black, green. Okay? But they're not four physical horses. What are they? Well, if you go, so many times in Bible prophecy, prophecies are given, the same prophecy is given 2, 3, 4, 5 times. But it's like any other topic in the Bible. If you're going to study a topic, you've got to look at every verse pertaining to that topic. I don't care if it's salvation, if it's holiness, if it's the oneness of God, if it's prophecy, what it is. You got to study every verse, because if you don't, when you think you got something figured out, somebody will come along and say, well, what about this verse? And you're like, oops, I didn't see that. So you got to look at every prophecy, because what happens is, the Bible says here a little, there a little, okay? So when you look at all the prophecies concerning that one topic, they add clues. And when you stack up all the clues, then you see what God was trying to tell us. So when you say, what are these horses? What do they represent? Well, if you go back, the same prophecy is found back in Zechariah chapter 6, verse 1 through 5. And when you go back there, Zechariah 6, 1 through 5 says this, there came four chariots. There's four horses in Zechariah, but they're pulling chariots. Same prophecy. In the first chariot were red horses, the second was black horses, the third was white horses, and the fourth was, instead of pale, now this is the King James Version I'm going by. In Revelation 6, it was a pale horse. In Zechariah 6, it was a grizzled and bay horse. And similar. And it said unto me, Jeremiah says to the Lord, what are these? What do these things represent? This is a very, very important clue. The angel answered and said, "These are the four spirits of the heavens which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth." So what are the horses in Revelation 6? It's the same prophecy. There's other clues here. You're going to get this in less than three of the Bible study. It'll give you all the clues and it'll prove all this stuff. But again, I'm hitting the treetops to get all this in by 8 o'clock. So it's the same horses in Revelation 6, but we now know that those horses are, they represent the four spirits, the four belief systems that will control the ideologies of mankind on the earth at the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Okay? You're going to find that two of them are political, two of them are religious. And they control, today in 2024, they control the thought processes of pretty much the entire world, these four belief systems. You're going to see. So what are these? Well, the red horse. The red horse, most of you probably already know this. What's the red spirit in the earth? What's the red spirit that controls what people believe, what they love, what they're willing to protect, what many of them have fought and died for? The red spirit of communism. You've heard of red Russia, red China, red Romania, the reds under the bed, the red scare, the red sashes. You've seen it all throughout history when communism come into play. Karl Marx published his Communist Manifesto in, I think, the English version, 1850. And once they started taking over throughout time, over the last 100 years, we've seen tens and tens and tens of millions of people killed under communistic, socialistic rule. I had a guy tell me one time, a professor at a college, socialism and communism have nothing to do with each other. And I said, really? I said, they're synonymous terms. I said, they both have the same goal. And Vladimir Lenin said that we believe in implementing socialism, it will lead to a higher phase of it, communism. And the Communist Party USA, yes, there is a Communist Party USA. It's been here since the early 1900s, pushing their communistic agenda in America. They wrote a new party platform, I think it was 2018 or 2019. I read the thing. And you go down through there, and communism is mentioned about 5 times, the word communism. Socialism is mentioned about 100 times. And they say, we're trying to implement socialism, which will lead to the higher phase, communism. What is it? When you cannot defeat a country militarily, they know that they have to get a hold of the economy. So they can't defeat us. They realized after World War II, we can't defeat the United States because we were victorious in 2 campaigns. The European campaign and the Pacific, and the Japanese. They realized they couldn't defeat the United States militarily. So what do they got to do? They're trying to get a hold of our economy. And that's exactly what's happening right now. Socialistic principles. I'll talk to you in the morning about central bank digital currencies and what the Federal Reserve really is. The Federal Reserve is not government. The Federal Reserve is no more government than Federal Express. It has nothing to do with the government. It's a cartel of bankers. It's a cabal of private bankers that own a private organization. You can't go knock on the door and say, I've got $1 billion. Can I be part of this? They'd say no, because $1 billion is nothing. When you can make money out of thin air, $1 billion is chump change. These guys are multi-trillionaires. Most of them, you don't know their name. But they're the ones, they're running our government. Our government's not running the Federal Reserve or running our country. And I'll talk to you and tell you why in the morning when we talk about the Federal Reserve Act and how they took the power away from our Congress to control our economy. Central banks would give them absolute control of everybody's bank account in here. We'll talk about that in the morning, things that are happening. It's the implementation of socialism in America. There are many states right now that is put forth legislation to keep their state from recognizing central bank digital currencies as a means of currency in their state. I hope your state does it. I don't think they are. That's a problem. Come to Texas. Everybody else is. Okay? So anyway, the red horse. Pastor, I'm not trying to get anybody to come down there. I'm just saying. For instance, you know why everybody's coming out of New York and California and coming to Texas? It's insane. I think it was 4 or 5 years ago we had 7 million people. Now we just crossed 8 in the Metroplex. Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. 1 million people in 4 or 5 years. It's just, it's going nuts. They're building houses and apartment buildings like you have never seen in your life in Dallas. And it's crazy. It's expanding like, it's just insane. So, it's socialism in America. That's the red spirit. Remember, there was a red horse. The red spirit, the red belief system. The black horse. Revelation 6, 5 through 6. It says that this horse had, instead of having a sword, you're going to learn in the Bible today. Again, I'm hitting the treetops here. But the red horse had a sword. Of course, the sword of communism. They even kill their own people. The Bible says that they'll kill their own people. Stalin killed like 20 million communists. Remember the Bolshevik revolutions and all these different things that have happened. They killed their own people. The Bible says that this entity would. They had a great sword. Well, instead of a sword, the black horse had a pair of balances in his hand. And it's commerce. It is. It's trade. The counterpart to communism is what? Capitalism. They've been against each other pretty much since the Cold War. And the trade and commerce, they're what make capitalism work. It's the American dream. You want to come here, it doesn't matter who you are or what you are. If you want to come in and you want to work hard, you can be a success. You can have a successful business. Nothing's stopping you. Why? And I know people, I've got family members who became multimillionaires that had, some of them didn't have high school. They quit high school before, didn't get a diploma. Became millionaires. They just took off working. They worked hard, kept their nose to the grindstone. And I just had an uncle that passed away. He passed away the week my father-in-law passed away. And he was a multimillionaire and had just a minimal high school education from a small country school out of a farm community. And became a multimillionaire. He's leaving his family $20 million when he left. My aunt told my mother. He worked hard. He invested, started working with bankers. He had several factories when he passed, and he just worked his way up. But somebody else has a million excuses why they can't do that. Everybody's got an opportunity to do this. It's America. Still, most of the millionaires today are self-made. A lot of people say, well, their parents give them that and this. No, most of the vast majority of millionaires today are self-made. And so, anyway, it's capitalism. Free enterprise that motivates the spirit of capitalism. The black spirit, the red spirit, socialism, communism. The black spirit is capitalism. The Bible also says, gives a few more clues. A measure of wheat for a penny, 3 measures of barley for a penny. It's kind of like a stock market report. In a capitalist society, everything revolves around the economy. People in a capitalist economy, they vote the leadership based on the effect that it'll have on their pocketbook, right? When you have a normal election... Did I say that? I went back to politics again. Man, I got to stay off politics and stay on prophecy. When you have a normal, fair election, we're supposed to be able to, governments of the people, for the people, and by the people. We're supposed to be able to put in people who do what we want and get people out that don't do what we want. That's how we get what we want, the people. But now it's been reversed, and we're sitting here... gas in Texas is about $2.95. Yours is $3.44 average. I've looked at it. And when Donald Trump left office, I think it was $1.69 in Texas. So I'm going, man, how did we elect a guy in America to give us this? Will we be able to get him out? I don't know where you guys are at politically, but anyway. If you understand where Texas is at, moving on. So, not only is red the official color of socialism, communism, remember these are belief systems that will control the ideologies of mankind just prior to the second coming, but black is the color of capitalism. The Jacobin magazine is the number one voice for socialism in America. And I go to their site all the time because they talk about this stuff all the time. Seth Ackerman wrote an article back in 2012 called The Red and the Black. And the subtitle here says, profit is the motor of capitalism. What would it be under socialism? The entire article is about capitalism versus socialism. The title of the article, The Red and the Black. These are political ideologies, and people know. People in the political sphere know. Red, socialism. Black, capitalism. You've heard about Black Friday. That's when most of the major retailers hope their books go from red to black. The day after Thanksgiving, they want everybody to come to the stores. It's red and black, folks. A lot of times they'll know about it. Now, that's the red and black spirits. What is the white spirit? Well, Paul Blanchard wrote a book years ago called communism, democracy, or capitalism, and Catholic power. You say, Catholic power? What's that got to do? Remember, I told you two of these entities are secular or governmental, political. Two of them are religious. Catholic power. So, in essence, the book said there are three belief systems that could control the world, that control the world and cause all the wars. Communism, democracy or capitalism, and Catholic power. Okay? Now, if you're a Catholic here, everybody relax. I'm not talking to you. I would be talking more to Rome. Okay? There's a lot of things going on in Rome that a lot of Catholics don't agree with today. And so, but I'm going to try to stay on policy, or on politics, or off politics, and on off religion, and on prophecy. But it's virtually impossible, because it all ties together, and we're living through it. So also, so the third spirit here, the white spirit, Catholicism. And my father-in-law was down praying about this one time and asking God to help him, because he was writing articles and stuff on this. And he was like, Lord, what's the white power? What's the white power? And he was down praying in a pastor's office, very small. And he looked over on the guy's bookshelf, and there was this book, Communism, Democracy, and Catholic Power. I have the book on my bookshelf at home, or in my office. And he said, Lord, he was looking at the book, and he's on his knees, and he's like, Lord, are you telling me that the white spirit is Catholicism? Well, then, years ago, my father-in-law interviewed a guy named Malachi Martin. Man, we're going to have to roll. I've got 43 slides, and I'm on 15. So I'm going to have to quit. I'm going to have to quit ad-libbing so much. And so, anyway, years ago, my father-in-law interviewed a guy named Malachi Martin. And he, in a book, The Keys of This Blood, he said that the question is not, he told my father-in-law on the radio, he said, the question is not, Irvin, that there's going to be a world government. He said, that issue is settled, but all nations are now interdependent. The only question is, who's going to rule that world government? So in the book, he said there are three and only three geopolitical powers. Malachi Martin was a Catholic insider, great friends with John Paul II. I mean, he was in the know in the Catholic Church. He taught at Vatican College. And he said there are only three and only three geopolitical powers with the necessary doctrine and structure to rule the world government. So he writes a book, The Keys of This Blood, the struggle for world dominion to set up a world government. Who's going to run it between Catholicism, Pope John Paul II, communism, at that time Mikhail Gorbachev, and the capitalist West? The white power, Catholicism, the red power, communism, the black power, capitalism. These guys, he wrote a book basically about Revelation chapter 6. The red, black, and the white powers. You understand what's going on here? White powers. And again, I'm hitting the treetops. The Bible study will take you through all this and document it. It talks about the importance of the white power, of the color of white in the Catholic Church. When you see a papal parade, The two ruling bodies of the Catholic Church are the cardinals and the bishops and archbishops. The cardinals wear red. When you see a papal parade there for blocks, it'll be a sea of red and then a sea of purple, the bishops and archbishops. But there's one guy wearing white. Everybody knows who he is. And you can look for blocks and blocks. And then down at the end, he's that big, you can see a guy wearing white. And you know that's the Pope. And when you see the Pope, almost every time he's wearing white. The Alitalia Airlines, the planes that he flies on are always white. The Pope Mobile, when I think there was an assassination attempt, I think it was Pope John Paul II. After that, they built him a Pope Mobile. You see it in the bottom right hand there. That's always white. The helicopter that he flies in Italy with, and in the region, that region is always white. So if the Pope had a horse, what color do you think it'd be? Be white, wouldn't it? The white spirit. The three spirits. White, red, and black. Say, well, what about the pale horse? And I've got a lesson on this that takes a deep dive. It's the third lesson that you guys will go through. And it gives documentation for all these. It talks about the Pope's tiara and all this stuff. It fits all the clues in the Bible, okay? It'll take you through all the clues and prove them all in the Bible study. What about the pale horse? The pale chloros horse. Why did I throw that word chloros in there? Well, now that we know all these prophecies in Revelation and Zechariah are referring to belief systems, it's going to be easy to see that the pale horse is going to correlate with Islam. This is why I'm bringing it up. Remember the story I talked to you about earlier? Islam, this rise of Islam in the world today. This power has suddenly riveted the world's attention on Islam, and it threatens to take over all of Europe. Experts predict that by 2030 or 2040, that it could take over all of Europe, and we now feel the pressure. So Revelation 6, 7 through 8, it says, "And when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, 'Come and see.' I looked, and behold, a pale horse. His name that sat upon him was Death. Hell followed with him," not 70 dark-eyed virgins, which is what they're promised if they're martyred, by the way. Hell follows them. "And power was given to him over a fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, hunger, death, and with the beast of the earth." So the word pale here, that's the King James Version of the Bible, by the way. Pale. You go to many different versions, some of them say pale green. A Tyndale version of the Bible, William Tyndale, would say a green horse. He translated it correctly. William Tyndale. The King James Version, they said pale. The word pale in the scripture, translated in its original Greek, the word is chloros. Remember chlorophyll in your old biology class? It's the pigment that makes plants green, chlorophyll. It all originates from chloros. And it's used, the same word here is used three other times in the New Testament. Every time. It's in Revelation 6, Mark 6:39, Revelation 8, 7. And I'm sorry, in Mark 6:39, Revelation 8, 7, and Revelation 9, 4, it's translated as green, the green grass. But when you go to Revelation 6, it's translated pale. Because if you've ever translated anything, the translators are taught to make it make as much sense as possible. In a Thayer's definition, chloros is the green or yellowish pale. So the writer, he's going out there, he said, okay, a red horse, white horse, black horse, but I've never seen a green horse. What in the world? So he went with pale. But it should have been translated green, just like all the other times in the New Testament, a green horse. So the last horse, what do we have? We've got a white horse, red horse, black horse, and it should have been translated green, a green horse. So what I want to know is, based on this information, what would the green spirit be today? What would it be? Money? I've had people say all kinds of stuff. No. It's Islam, the spirit of Islam. And it's the last spirit to arise in the earth prior to the Great Tribulation. Now we see the rise of it in our world today. Look at what's going on in our world. I've never seen a Palestinian uprising like I've seen over the last two or three months in America. This is not Europe. I'm talking about Raytheon, 1 mile from End Time. My studio's there. It's crazy. It's happening all over. It's happening all over the DFW Metroplex. It's happening in Dearborn. It's happening all over America. And so they're uprisings, and they're trying to indoctrinate people. We've got people like that in our Congress now. They've been bickering and fighting and going back and forth, and we've got to expel this person from Congress because they're pushing for anti-Israel things and all this other stuff, and it's the spirit of Islam rising. This is the Jewish News Syndicate, a very reliable news source, by the way. If you guys are looking for a good news source that's overseas, most of my news I get overseas. It's non-biased. It's not bought and paid for, and they have writers here in the United States that will tell you exactly what you need to know. Jewish News Syndicate, JNS, they published an article, "Islamists and Progressives, the Green and the Red Spirit, Socialism, Form a Red-Green Alliance Against the Individual." In that article, it says this: "American Jews and Muslims are under threat from a bizarre partnership between radical progressives and Islamists, the Red-Green Alliance." These are the colors in the Bible, folks. The movement was named in Europe for red, and this is a quote, "red for socialism, green for Islam." Okay? But we're not in the end time right yet. I'm just speaking here tonight because you guys need something else to do. Now, come on, you guys. You know better than that. A political article written by Mr. Daniel Pipes entitled "Militant Islam Reaches America." It was published in an encyclopedia. It's pretty cool. And it said this. Again, don't get all your information from the internet. I know it's quick, right at your fingertips, but read some books, please. There's some things going in them books. There's some stuff in my book that you can't get off the internet. I published a book, Understand the End Time. I got some of that stuff out of books. I couldn't find it on the internet. Or the Google has buried it so deep that you can't find it. Used to, end time, when you would type in Revelation, Mark of the Beast, things that we specialized in, we'd come up on the front page of Google. Google was created by two guys who got a loan from our government, you understand? Okay? So wonder who's running the internet. Wonder who's running Google. Come on. So the fact of the matter is that we recognized when they started censoring us, you would type in Armageddon, and we were like page 25. I wrote an article on this years ago. We were 25, 30, sometime page 40. They were pushing all of our information back in the back, and they were putting up nefarious false narrative sites. It was horrific. I'm like, no, don't put that up there. We were so buried. Well, imagine the information you're trying to find, the true stuff. They'll either bury it or erase it. So you, again, do your initial search, but make sure you're reading books. Make sure you're getting some books. You're getting some periodicals. Go to make sure you know your information is true. I deal with it every day. So, this Militant Islam Reaches America, it was published in an encyclopedia, and it said this: the collapse of the Soviet Union in 91 prompted loose talk about Islam replacing Marxism-Leninism, or communism, the red spirit, as the West's necessary enemy. In symbolic terms, it was said that green, Islam's color, has replaced red, communism's color, in the West Rogues Gallery. Daniel Pipe said this: all of a sudden, the fear. Now think about this. When the Cold War was going on, what were you worried about? Russia's going to push the buttons. Then we're going to push the buttons. We're going to annihilate each other. That was the Cold War. It's what it was. We were fighting a Cold War. Everybody was afraid each other was going to push the buttons. But he says this: all of a sudden, the fear we've had for Marxism, the red power, for years, is now being replaced by the fear of the green power, Islam. What, American citizens, what do you fear more now? Socialism or Islamism? Think about it. It's being replaced, right? Islam is the last spirit to arise in the earth prior to the Great Tribulation beginning. So we're living in the end time, right? You said, Dave, you're scaring me to death. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to prepare you for the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's the goal in all of this. End Time Ministries teaches the gospel of the kingdom of God to this entire world because the end time is now. And so I'm trying to put Jesus on your radar, the coming of Jesus. If it's not on your radar, I'm trying to put it there. Jesus Christ is coming back before very long. And if you have not made yourself ready, I'm imploring you to do that immediately. This Bible study will prepare you for that. That's what the whole thing's designed for. It'll prepare you mentally and physically. It'll talk to you about central bank digital currencies. We'll go through all that stuff. This is a brand new Bible study. But it will also prepare you spiritually for eternity. Why do I need to be prepared for that? Because Jesus Christ is coming back before very long. And you need to be prepared for that. So the Bible study will prepare you for all of it. It's really cool. And I've got them going on all over the world. It's really neat. So let's talk about this green horse spirit, Islam. So you know that. Notice that on the they put green on everything. They want you to know what their color is. Down in the bottom right-hand corner, at the end of Ramadan a couple years ago, the Empire State Building down in Manhattan, they lit the top of it up green. They were celebrating Islam. The coming to the end of Ramadan. That is a Islamic parade there, a militant parade. They've got bombs and rocket launchers on their shoulders. But look at the sea of green. Hats, armbands, flags, they're all green. This over, and the two pictures on your left, that would be the green door. This is up on top of the Temple Mount. After Israel conquered the Temple Mount in the 1967 Six Days War, they turned right around. They should have blown up the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque. They had an opportunity to do that, but they didn't do it. They turned right around and gave the control of the Temple Mount back to the Muslim Waqf because they feared the wrath of the international community. Which, that'd be like King David giving the Temple Mount to Goliath. Imagine that. It's insane, but they did that. And so to let you know who's in control, they're not allowed to paint any stones, but anything that's wood or metal, they're allowed to paint. Well, they painted it green because they want to let you know. This is a door up on the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and this is the laver that a lot of them wash in right down there when they have Ramadan and different things throughout their rituals. They painted the wrought iron railing there green because they're letting you know Islam controls this Temple Mount. And when the Jews go up there, they have to see this sea of green on everything when you go up there. Now, they're not allowed to touch the stones. The stones, they're not allowed to do that. But anything else, they're allowed to paint green. And so what are they letting you know? The symbolic color, these colors that the Bible gives us, white, red, black, and green. Very symbolic, and God wanted us to know these will be the major belief systems that will control the ideologies of mankind. These four spirits, the ideologies, control pretty much everybody on the planet. You're either a capitalist, you're a socialist, you're Islamic, or you're in the Catholic sphere. And many Catholics, obviously, are capitalist and whatever. But I'm just saying, you're either, most everybody on the earth is either one of these four, as a rule. And so, God knew what he was talking about when he put this whole book called the Bible together, didn't he? He absolutely did. And he told us the green spirit would be the last one to arise in the end time. And do you see the rise of that green spirit today? Oh my, it's in the headlines of our news every single day. It's setting the stage for the Great Tribulation, the Battle of Armageddon. That's where all this is headed. They're setting the stage for it as we speak. Revelation 6:8, it goes on to explain that this green horse spirit is going to have power over a fourth part of the earth. So according to the Population Reference Bureau, these are some of the things that you'll see in these DVDs, these little clips, documenting everything. By 2030, the world's total population is expected to increase by about 35%. Over 2010 levels to 2.2 billion people. In the Muslim population, in total, Muslims would make up about 26%. Projected populations by that time make up about 26% of the world's population. That's right at about one-fourth. The scripture says that this entity, this green spirit, would be given power over a fourth part of the earth. All of the clues line up perfectly to every single one of these. I've only taken you through a few of the clues. Revelation 6, 1 through 8 gives all kinds of clues for each one. All of them line up perfectly with Catholicism, communism, capitalism, and Islamism. So, the four colors match our belief systems, and it's amazing. It's a 2,000-year-old prophecy. None of these existed back when John was here writing these prophecies, exiled out on the Isle of Patmos. I've had people tell me, well, he was able to take books and different things with him. I'm like, he was exiled as a prisoner out on the Isle of Patmos. He didn't say, hold on a minute, let me get my books and different things. No. God showed him, miraculously showed him all these things. Here's what's going to come to pass, John. In chapter 1, you're going to write a vision that you've seen. Revelation 1:19. Revelation is segmented into three parts. John, I want you to write the things which you have seen, the things which are, and then I want you to write the things which will be hereafter. So Revelation chapter 1 is a vision that John had seen. Revelation 2 and 3 are letters that were written by John to seven churches in Asia. And then Revelation chapter 4 verse 1, the Lord says, come up, John, come up hither, and I will show you things that will be hereafter. So the prophetic portion of the book of Revelation is from Revelation 4:1 to Revelation chapter 22. That's how it's segmented. And then there's a skeletal structure. You'll learn all this stuff. Well, it's a 2,000-year-old prophecy here. And John's in the prophetic portion of the book of Revelation. Prophecy here is found in Revelation chapter 6, verse 1 through 8. So 2,000-year-old prophecy, and all the prophecies are lined up. But what I want you to know tonight is that the era of the green horse, Islamism, is right now, 2024. You say, Dave, but you're sensationalizing the thing. You're trying to get me to believe something that doesn't really exist. Really? Go to the news when you get home, Google News, and look up the Red-Green Axis, the Red-Green Alliance. You will see article after article after article about socialism and Islamism working together. But there's going to come a time when they completely separate. The Bible tells us about this. The end time, well, we'll talk about it, but the end time world government is socialistic and communistic. I know that from the prophecies of the Bible. A socialistic one-world governing body, not Islamic. Remember, what I'm answering the questions that we had in the beginning. So after this, Revelation 6, 1 through 8, then we get to Revelation 6, 9 through 11. And it's the fifth seal, which is the Great Tribulation. The green horse, this green spirit, is the last one to arise in the earth prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Prior to the Great Tribulation. So we're walking down through Revelation chapter 6 here. The Bible says, and when they opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, for the testimony which they held, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell upon the earth? This is a great tribulation here. White robes were given unto them, every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest for a little season, not for 2,000 years, but for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren, that they should be killed as they were, and that that should be fulfilled. This is a great tribulation. We're walking through one of the Bible's timelines here. And so this, the fifth seal depicts the great tribulation, and then we go to the sixth seal immediately. And I beheld, and when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black. Now this is mentioned several times. This is mentioned in the book of Joel. This is mentioned in Matthew 24 when Jesus is teaching the Olivet Discourse. It says, and at that time the sun will be black as sackcloth of hair. Now that's the eclipse that I'm looking for. Okay, not April 8th. Okay, everybody's getting all wound up. There's going to be an economic collapse. And there's going to be an earthquake that's going to break America in half. All this other stuff. No, it's not time yet. It's not time for all this stuff. I'm going through the timeline of the events. Yes, the Lord did use a star to lead the wise men to Jesus. He can do signs in the sky. But some people want to look to the signs in the sky to say, okay, my horoscope says that I'm going to have a great week this week, and this month's going to be awesome, and da-da-da. No. I'm not looking to the sky for that. That's divination. You're not supposed to do that kind of stuff. Fact of the matter is, I'm following the events that are laid out in the Bible. We stick to those events like super glue because I can document them. I can prove them. God give us all the proofs for them. That's what we're following is the events. And when some of the events happen, then the Bible says there will be signs in the sky. But I'm not looking to the... Because some people have taken all them signs in the sky, the constellations and the four blood moons and all this other stuff. And there's going to be... everybody's going to lose their bank accounts and everything. And then when it doesn't happen, everybody says, well, that prophecy stuff just must be crazy. Nobody knows what's going on. They've made everything out to be a mockery. But the thing is, the Bible says we can understand these things. But you got to know what to follow. That's it. So I'm following what God gave us, and that's the events. Okay. Back to my lesson. So the Bible says, the stars will fall from heaven. Same thing Jesus said in Matthew 24. Even as the fig tree casteth its untimely figs, when she's shaken of a mighty wind. The heaven departed as a scroll when it's rolled together. And every mountain and every rich man, every mountain and island, and it was moved out of their places. The kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and the rocks and in the mountains. And they said to the mountains, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. This is the second coming of Jesus Christ, the Battle of Armageddon. The wrath of God is the Battle of Armageddon. It's poured out at the time of the Battle of Armageddon. The Great Tribulation. I'll mess with your theology and eschatology. The Great Tribulation is not the wrath of God. That's the wrath of Satan. When the Bible says we're not appointed unto the wrath of God, that's not the Great Tribulation. The wrath of God is the seven vials of the wrath of God in Revelation chapter 16. The Great Tribulation, Revelation 12, is the wrath of Satan that's poured out. Okay, moving on. We'll talk about that in the morning a little bit more. So, Revelation 6, we're following these timeline of events here. Question is, will Islam rule the world? That's one of the questions I wanted to answer. So the characteristics of the final world governing empire that will be ruling at the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ, it's mentioned more than once in the Bible. It gives us a depiction of the end time world government and who will be involved in that. Okay? So the question is, will Islam rule that world government, this green spirit? Okay? So in Daniel chapter 2, verse 31 through 45, Nebuchadnezzar's given a vision. I'm just going to give you again, I'm hitting the treetops here. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. We've got a less than seven of this Bible study you're fixing to go through. We'll take you through this in great detail. It goes through history. It does the whole thing. I'm not going to have time to do that in the 30 minutes that I have left. And I'm going good. I'm on slide 30. So we're going really good here. 8 o'clock's looking pretty good, Pastor. So I don't want him booting me out here in the parking lot at 8 o'clock. So we're going to move. Daniel 2, verse 31 through 45. Nebuchadnezzar has a vision. He sees a statue with the head of gold. Well, so he didn't know, he couldn't remember his dream. He called his wise men and he said, I want you to tell me my dream. And they said, well, and what it means. They said, well, tell us what your dream was and we'll tell you what it means. He said, that's my point. I called you guys in here because I can't remember what the dream was. So I want you guys who are supposed to be spiritual and wise men and all this. I want you to tell me the dream and then I want you to tell me its interpretation. They said, well, no one's ever asked us to do this before. This is a hard thing. And he says, just what I thought. You guys are a bunch of charlatans. I'm killing all of you. Off with your heads. So, they come to Daniel. this was going to happen. And they come to Daniel and they said, Daniel, I'm sorry, but you're one of the wise men and we've been sent here to take you. And he said, well, hold on a minute, boys. Why are you taking me? I'm happy to die, but, tell me what's going on. They said, well, the king had a dream. He couldn't remember it. He called the wise men before him, all of the other charlatan guys, magicians. They couldn't tell him. He said, well, I can't, but my God that I serve can. Let me pray and fast. So he did that. They took him before the king, and he said, King, my God that I serve has revealed all this to me. He told him what it was. He said, you saw a statue. It had the head of gold, arms and breasts of silver, belly and thighs of brass, legs of iron, and feet of iron mingled with clay. That's what you saw. Then he gives him the interpretation. He said, all of these empires, or all of these different metals, will be, they symbolize metals or empires that will rule the entire world during their known era. He says, you, Nebuchadnezzar, are the head of gold. That's the Babylonian Empire, when Daniel was down in Babylonian captivity. And he said, then there's coming one inferior to you, which we know now throughout history was the Medes and the Persians. You know, remember the night that Belshazzar, his grandson, had the impious feast where he used the temple cups and different things and there was a handwriting on the wall, meaning, meeny, tiku, eupharsin, this night your kingdom is taken from you. That night, the Medes and the Persians invaded and overthrew Babylon. Well, that was the arms and breasts of silver. All of these different elements here represent empires that would rule the world. So what we're seeing here is a symbolic view of all of the, a representation of all the world empires from Babylon all the way to the second coming of Jesus Christ. The head of gold was, this was the interpretation that Daniel gave Nebuchadnezzar. The head of gold was Babylon. The arms and breasts of silver were the Medes and the Persians. You remember the story in Daniel, the book of Daniel, King Darius and King Cyrus and Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel and the lion's den, the three Hebrew children, okay. Then the belly and thighs of brass were the Grecian Empire with Alexander the Great. I'm going through history here. The legs of iron were the Roman Empire, which ruled the longest and was the strongest. That was from about 200 A.D., roughly, to about 300, about 284 to 300 B.C., because they imploded from within. And so, but that lasted almost 500 years, the Roman Empire. And then you have the fifth one, which was the Holy Roman Empire, the feet of iron mingled with clay. It had an element of the previous empire, but another element was added in. We now know that that was the religious element. The Holy Roman Empire began in 800 A.D. It was the fifth empire here on Nebuchadnezzar's vision. And it began in 800 A.D. when Pope Leo III crowned Charlemagne the first emperor of the Holy Roman Empire. So there was a political empire, and there was a religious element that it added in. That was the clay. The feet of iron mingle with clay. They never have completely, totally meshed, and they never will. Because the Bible says when it all is said and done in Revelation chapter 17, that the world governing body will turn on the religious element and burn her with fire. And you'll learn all that in the Bible study and what all that's all about and everything. But the feet of iron mingle with clay, the Holy Roman Empire. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 2 that there was a stone carved out of the mountain without hands, and that it came down, it hit the image on the feet of iron winged with clay. The entire image come down. The world-governing empires all crumbled, and the belief system in that, and that it was blown away as the chaff of the threshing floor, and that entity's kingdom would fill the entire earth. It's the kingdom of God that will fill the entire earth when he comes back at his second coming. So it lets us know that the feet of iron mingled with clay, the Holy Roman Empire, would be the leader of the last global governing empire at the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ. So what is that? Because if I'm standing up here as a prophecy teacher telling you we're just prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ, that entity better be existing now, right? Well, it does. The feet of iron mingled with clay is the modern day Holy Roman Empire. The original Holy Roman Empire was ruled by the most powerful politician from Europe and always the most powerful religious figure from Rome, which was the Pope, all the way through. It was almost always a Germanic king Then there was, but the popes all along ruled the religious element. And that's how they ran the Holy Roman Empire. Politics and religion merged together. And it was a union of politics and religion. And so remember that statement. Well, so that lasted, it started in 800 AD. It lasted about 1,000 years until Napoleon defeated King Francis II. And when he did that, that went away, and they thought that the belief system in a united Europe, a European states, a unification of them, that dream died. But the dream never died. He was defeated by Napoleon, but the dream of the Catholic Church and the political entity never died. That continued on. So, after World War II, Churchill and all these guys started talking about a European Union of States, just like we have the United States of America. They wanted a United States of Europe. And he said what happened is because really a lot of Europe lay in shambles at the end of World War II. If you see pictures of a lot of the cities in Europe, a lot, and I've been there, and I talked to the guys. Our guide told us, he said, many of these cities were completely destroyed except for the Catholic Church. It was the only thing left standing by a lot of the Nazis. Oh, did I say that? Let me move on. I'll move on from that. Anyway, what happens is that Churchill and all these guys said, hey, the European powers, we've always been at the helm of world governing affairs, and now after World War II, Europe lays in shambles, and if we don't do something and unify, Europe's going to be swept into the dustbin of history. And so they started unifying, and they started getting different economies put together, and they started passing different laws. And once they got the economies merged, then they had to start bringing in laws to manage all of it. And so what they have created today is called the European Union. They started unionizing all this stuff. And on November 3rd, 2009, again, this is the treetop version of all this. On November 3rd, 2009, when the last EU country, the Czech Republic, when they ratified what's called the Lisbon Treaty, we have a constitution, the United States. Now Europe has one. These different nations, they've done away with their borders. They've done away with all the tariffs. I could raise corn in Italy and sell it in Germany. No tariffs. Drive from country to country. No borders. No passports in the European Union. That's done away with. That's the model of world government. The world government is trying to control migration globally. They don't want any nations to control their borders. So, why would a president of the most freest nation on the planet, why would we not control our borders? Because we're being told by the world government what to do. That's why. We've got a globalist in the White House. Now, if you voted for Biden, I still love you and I want to see you saved. But the fact of the matter is, that's what's going on. Joe Biden's a globalist to his eyeballs. Always has been. And unless God saves him, he's always going to be. So the fact of the matter is that this is what we're living with. The Lisbon Treaty was signed November 3rd, 2009. That became Europe's constitution, and that is the rebirth of the Holy Roman Empire. The entity, remember the feet of iron mingled with clay on Nebuchadnezzar's statue, that's the Holy Roman Empire. The Bible says that that would be the entity that would rule the entire world during the known era, just at the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ. That entity was established, reestablished November 3rd, 2009. It was the rebirth. That's when they had Charlemagne was the first emperor of the Holy Roman Empire. Now they put Charlemagne on their first coin. They've got the Charlemagne page in the Economist magazine. They've got the Charlemagne building across from the Parliament building in Brussels, Belgium, where any nation that wants to join the EU, they have to go through the Charlemagne building. That's where all the approval processes happen. Charlemagne, Charlemagne, Charlemagne. What are they doing? It's the rebirth of the Holy Roman Empire, everybody. The entity that will rule the world at the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ. So hold on a minute. The United States is the principal driver behind world government. That's fiction to change. The powers that be right now are going to swing over to Europe in the very near future. And because of the weakness of our country right now, our allies and our enemies see our weakness. And Europe is sitting here saying, hey, I've got articles documenting all this. Europe is sitting here and saying, hey, the United States is losing their place on the world stage. We need to be, we now are ready to fill that void. And that's being established in the political realm and other realms in the world. The European Union, the Bible says that's exactly what's going to happen. Powers are going to swing over there, and that's going to be the power base of the Antichrist. It's not going to be the Middle East. It's not going to be the United States. And I can prove, well, the Bible studies will prove that to you. The little horn that comes up, he comes out of the European Union. The Antichrist will come from Europe. I've had so many people say, is Donald Trump the Antichrist? Is President Obama the Antichrist? No. Joe Biden's not the Antichrist. He has some of the characteristics. But he's not the Antichrist, okay? He's not the Antichrist. Can't be. He's not from Europe. And so, as you go through the Bible study, all this politics will start to make sense, and you'll get a grasp of what's really going on. Because I'm telling you, if you're watching your nightly news and going through all this stuff, you're being so indoctrinated, it is unreal. Why'd they kick Tucker Carlson off Fox News? Why'd they kick Glenn Beck off? Glenn Beck was kicked off just after he did one of his chalkboard deals with G. Edward Griffin, who wrote Creature from Jekyll Isle, exploding the Federal Reserve for what it really is. It wasn't very long after that. Glenn Beck was kicked off Fox. And then Tucker Carlson was kicked off just recently, and now he started his own network because they do not. And I'm surprised Sean Hannity's still on there. I don't know how he's had to straddle the fence, but I don't know how he's still on there. But I'm telling you what, man, what's the guy's name? Grant Stinchfield was kicked off Newsmax because they wanted him to go after Tucker Carlson. He said, I won't do it. And they said, see ya. So he was kicked off. This is in our news media as we speak. This is what's going on. They're kicking all these guys off here because they don't want that. You can't be telling those kind of truths because they're trying to indoctrinate people. Okay, moving on. We're doing good. Another depiction of the end time world government. I can go through this one pretty quick. Daniel chapter 7. Daniel sees four beasts. A lion with eagle's wings, a bear, a full-headed leopard, and a ten-horned beast. Daniel chapter 7 verses 17 and 23, it says these beasts symbolize kingdoms, or in modern-day terminology, nations, and the leaders of their nations, and that these beasts, these nations, would be on the earth at the time when the Ancient of Days would come back to establish a kingdom here on the earth and hand that kingdom to the saints. When the Ancient of Days is Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ comes back, these four nations would be in power, these prominent nations. Really quick, you'll learn this one in the first Bible study this Tuesday. The lion is Great Britain, the modern-day nation of Great Britain. Daniel said, I beheld till the eagle's wings were plucked out of that lion, made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. What nation, this is history class now, what nation with the symbol of an eagle was taken out of the nation of Great Britain? The United States of America. Daniel saw the Declaration of Independence 2,300 years before it came to pass. He saw the plucking of the eagle, a nation symbolized by an eagle, out of a lion, the Great Britain. 2,500 years ago now. And then he said there would be one, the symbol of a bear. Who's the bear, modern day nation? The Russian bear. So God's telling us who's going to be involved in this world governing body. Then he says, I saw a four-headed leopard. We'll prove to you in the Bible study that that's Germany. And then he saw the ten-horned beast, which is the current European Union. Then in Revelation 13, now John and Daniel were not contemporaries. They never sit down and had a cup of coffee with each other and said, okay, we want our books to correlate here so it all makes sense. So you write this, Daniel, and then I'm going to, uh-uh. Daniel wrote his in Babylonian captivity 650 years prior to when John wrote his book out on the Isle of Patmos in about 95, 96 A.D. They never talked to each other. John never understood the writings of Daniel. None of the apostles did. That's why they couldn't know when Jesus was going to come. You say, but the Bible says no man knoweth the day or the hour. Jesus said that. Yeah, the Bible does say no man knoweth. They couldn't know back then. Man, I'm messing with your theology and eschatology now. They couldn't know back then, but the Lord told Daniel, no, Daniel, you close up and steal your book because it's for the people of the time of the end. And we'll talk about this a little bit more in the morning. I'm going to prove to you that we can understand these things that the apostles didn't understand. In Acts chapter 1, they asked the Lord, will you at this time restore your kingdom? He said, no, it's not for you guys to know. You go and tarry in Jerusalem. But he didn't say, nobody's ever going to know. So we'll get into some of that kind of stuff in the morning. They give you a little teaser there. Again, we start at 11, right? Okay, yeah. 11 o'clock in the morning, I'm inviting you all back. The Q&A session will be awesome. Just wait. You guys will be able to raise your hand, ask a question. We'll banter back and forth. It's going to be great. Just wait. That's going to happen in the morning. So John said, Revelation 13, 1 through 2, remember the beast, a four-headed leopard, a ten-horned beast, a bear, and a lion in Daniel 7. get to Revelation 13, John says, "And I stood up on the sand of the sea, I saw a beast, not four beasts, but I saw a single beast, a combo beast, coming up out of the sea. This beast had seven heads, 10 horns. Upon his horns, 10 crowns. The horns would symbolize the European Union. Upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. The beast which I saw had the body of the leopard, Germany, the feet of the bear, Russia, the mouth of the lion, Great Britain, and the dragon, which is Satan." It's not China. Revelation 12:9 says that old serpent, the dragon, and Satan. So it's Satan. So the dragon gives this world-governing body, this federalization of nations. You'll learn in the second lesson that those nations federalize into a world-governing body. That's already here. The United Nations is the seat of that world-governing body. The United Nations is designed to govern the world, not Russia, not the United States, not Israel, not a nation. They're designed to govern the planet. The World Health Organization is not designed to govern one nation. They're designed to govern the world. The International Criminal Court, the International Monetary Fund. They're establishing a world-governing body, you guys. And the Bible says that would be in power at the time when those clouds split open, you hear that trumpet sound, and Jesus comes to gather his elect. The United Nations is the seat of that world government in the earth today. They're creating a world-governing body. And the powers eventually will swing from the United States over to Europe. That's where the Antichrist is going to usurp authority over that. Boom, Great Tribulation starts, and there's not much time left. It's done. You say, "Well, I've got a few years left." The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24 that the man that says, "Oh, I've got a few years left, let's go get drunk and have a good time," and, the Bible says, "I'll come for that man in an hour when he thinks not." Jesus covered every step and every excuse. There's no excuse. Today, this is the day of salvation. So I've got to make sure I've got to get ready, and then I've got to get others ready. That's the goal in all of this. I've got to get ready myself because I'm not promised tomorrow. And then I've got a whole sphere of influence. That's why I'm torn. Do I want the rapture to happen tonight? I'd love for it to because I'm sick of this whole world. My check engine light's starting to go off too. And it gets old. I get sick of taking pills every morning. So, and I got some disciples there. That was awesome. Everybody else is sick of it too. When the rapture happens, no more pills. No more aches and pains. My back won't hurt anymore. No more chiropractors. Come on. It's going to be awesome. But you got to prepare yourself for that. It just doesn't happen on accident. I got to make myself ready. Okay, we're moving. So, Bible says it's going to be a socialistic one world governing body, which is the world governing today is socialistic. The United Nations is as socialistic as it gets. Antonio Guterres was the number one socialist on the planet before taking over the helm of the United Nations. He was the president of the Socialist International from 1995 to 1999. Our current UN Secretary General was the number one socialist on the planet. The Bible says in Revelation 17, which is a parenthetical chapter, it says, and God is describing to John in 17 and 18, Revelation 17 and 18, the judgment of the great whore, the mystery of Babylon and all her daughters, the false religious system in the end time. God's going to judge that. You better be part of the true Jesus Christ bought and paid for, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church in the end time. You can't just go to any church. You say, "Dave, now you're stepping on our toes. I'm trying to get you to heaven." There's churches out there that are doing things today that are diametrically opposed to the Word of God. Blessing same-sex unions and ordaining LGBTQ people in their pulpits as pastors. And I mean, diametrically opposed to the Word of God. Can't go to that church and make it. Y'all understand? Now you understand why I'm getting censored, right? You understand why we're getting censored? You're not allowed to say that stuff and get by with it. I thought we had freedom of speech. What happened to that? What is it? Exactly. But do you think we have total freedom of speech now? No, absolutely not. What happened to that? Somebody didn't stand up and say, "I'm going to say it anyway," and fight against it. So anyway, but there are people doing that. I mean, I don't believe the United States, and you'll learn this in the Bible study. But the United States is not going to be fully engaged with the world government in the end time. I can prove that scripturally. The country of Jordan, Israel, and the United States will not be in full compliance with the world government in the end time. Anyway, the Bible says the Lord's showing John some things, and he says, "He carried me in the spirit in the wilderness, and I saw a woman, the false religious system, sit on a scarlet-colored beast, full of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. That's a world government. The end-time world government is symbolized as red or scarlet. What's the red political system, the belief system in the end time? socialistic or communism. The Bible's laying out all of these things we're living through right now, folks. It's going to be a red world governing system. Socialistic, communistic. Alger Hiss was commissioned to be the architect of the United Nations Charter. He was a communist spy. He worked with FDR at the end of World War II. He was a communist spy, and he was the architect of the charter for the United Nations. You say, well, surely they've changed that by now. Not one word of that charter that he was the architect of has changed from that day to this. The United Nations was established to be a communistic one-world governing body, and the Bible says that end-time world government will be the red color. Whoever wrote the Bible knew what they were talking about. Right? Do you trust it? Every word in it? Well, do you trust your eternal salvation on it? Man, I do. I know where I'm going to spend eternity because of the words in that book and the Spirit that fills my life. Amen? Okay, so moving on. We're doing good. We're on 35. Man, we're actually doing really good. Every depiction of the end time socialistic world governing body is a European-centered entity. Everybody says the Antichrist is coming out of the Middle East. No, he's not. The Antichrist is coming out of America. No, he's not. It's a European-centered. Every nation that John mentioned in Revelation chapter 13 is Europe. The eagle's wings are not there. Notice, there was eagle's wings in Daniel 7, but they're not mentioned in that world governing body. So, well, what happened to them? Revelation chapter 12. The Bible says that Israel is carried away on the wings of a great eagle, where she is nursed in her place for time, times, and half a time. The woman in that chapter with the 12 stars is Israel, and the eagle is who? The United States of America. We are going to stand with Israel all the way to the very end. You say, but Biden's not doing that. I don't care what Biden does. I know what the Bible says, and the prophecies always come to pass. It doesn't matter how bleak the situation looks, the prophecies always will come to pass. So what am I teaching? Am I trying to scare you? No. I'm teaching hope, faith, love, and great revival in the end time. The church has a role in all of this, and that's to seek and save that which is lost. Teach and preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. That's what we're doing. End time ministries. When I do a Bible study, I know what I'm doing in that Bible study. I'm preparing mentally and physically, again, for the times just ahead and spiritually for eternity. You'll get all the verses, all the scriptures, everything that pertains to all of this. You will not walk out of this Bible study unprepared. That's why I've got them going on all over the world. I've got them on New Zealand, Australia, all over the place. We started up a Jerusalem Prophecy College in Israel. People started calling us and saying, do we have to come to Israel? We're like, well, at this point, we didn't know what to do. They said, well, put it online. We put the thing online. We've got over 6,000 students in that college. That thing took off and went nuts. I'm talking about China, New Zealand, Uruguay. So really quick, I've got so much to share. This lady contacted me a while back, and she said, hey, I started showing you guys videos, and I got a room full of people. I baptized all of them. They've all received the Holy Ghost. And she said, can you or Doug or Vince come and pastor this church? And I said, well, where are you at? She said, I got a house full of people. I said, well, where are you at? She goes, Slovakia. I said, what, Slovakia? She said, yeah. Oh, I got her in touch with the missionary there. Because, she started a church, and I'd never met the lady. I'd never talked to her off of our DVDs and stuff that was showing online. So it was crazy. Anyway, okay. I've only got a few slides left. So get your envelopes back out. I want to collect them. Now you understand how important the Bible study is, right? I said, check the box. I want to attend this Bible study. If you've never been through it, I'm telling you, I'm blowing and going, hitting the treetops of all of this. You want to take a deep dive into all of these topics. World government, world religion, mark of the beast. Things that you can't do. How do I know that I don't take the mark of the beast, Dave? The Bible study will walk you through all that. Step by step. Don't do this. Do this. And so check the box before you turn in the envelope. I want to attend this end time Bible study. Okay? It's very important. So if my ushers will help me. The buckets are in the back there. We're going to pass the buckets. And also, we want, it costs to do these things, right? And so we want to make sure we bless this church with a good offering. These conferences, there isn't a cost associated with it. And so we want to bless them. They were so nice to bring us here. You'll enjoy, I hope you're enjoying tonight. Tomorrow morning, I know you'll enjoy that, the Q&A session and everything, the update. But you're not going to get any of this on your nightly news. No way. You're being indoctrinated, folks. Make sure you've got good news sources and make sure you follow ministries and different things that are telling you the absolute truth in the face of so much censorship. So let me say a word of prayer. Stop what you're doing. Let me say a word of prayer. Then we'll take up the offering. And then I've got a few slides and we're done. Okay? Lord, I truly thank you for your many blessings. I thank you for your word. Without your word, we would be in complete darkness tonight. And so, Lord, we thank you. We come before you. And, Lord, I know. The Bible says, you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. People that don't know the truth, Lord, they're in bondage. And it's our job to share that with them. So thank you for giving the revelation of these prophecies to my father-in-law years ago. Lord, I ask you to bless this church. There's sincere hearts here, Lord, that want to know the truth, that want to know these and understand these prophecies. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here tonight. Lord, I ask you to bless this offering and bless each and every giver and those that can't give tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, God bless y'all, and I'm going to talk while they take up the offering. Thank you. Put your envelopes in there with the checked box. I want to attend this Bible study. It's going to be awesome. You guys will love it. So, out on the table, a lot of these DVDs, books, and different things are out there, study manuals. If you guys want to teach it yourself, say, I like to teach my own stuff. Great. There's a way to do that out there on the table. My wife's out there. She'll help you with everything. You say, well, I've been through all this, and I know it all. Well, take a DVD and give it to somebody at work. You talk about a conversation starter. Oh, my goodness. World religion. World government. Precursors. I mean, the mark of the beast. I had a lady. I took my car in a while back to get fixed. She was standing there. Somebody called her, and they said, do you guys take cash for payment? She was like, well, yeah, we still take cash. Because there's a lot of entities going cashless, right? And she said, well, yeah, we still take cash. When she hung up, she goes, mark of the beast, like that. And I said, what do you know about that? She goes, I used to listen to this guy on radio years ago, but she said, I think he just passed away. I said, that was my father-in-law, Irvin Baxter. She said, yeah, End Time Ministries. I said, I'm the host of that program. I said, we're on the radio blowing and going. And she was like, that is awesome. Mark of the beast. People everywhere. I've been overseas and saw 666 painted on the side of bridges and stuff. Everybody knows that something's going on, but some of them just don't understand. There's DVDs on all the stuff out there. Buy it all so we don't have to take anything home. Certainly appreciate it. Okay, I got a few slides left and then we're done. So I'm going to go because I got 4 minutes. I think if we go over, I don't know if the pastor would send me home tonight, but we're going to find out. Okay? So here we go. Let me go to this slide. You guys are doing better than I am. These guys upstairs are keeping me on track. So what happens to Islam? Well, the Bible says this, Revelation 9:13-16, there's a war coming. There's going to be a great reset, but it's not the one coming out of the World Economic Forum. Okay? There's coming a great reset, and it's going to be World War III. Just watch. The Bible says, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet. And remember, you'll learn in the Bible study, the first five trumpets in the book of Revelation have already occurred. Those are done. The sixth trumpet. This prophecy is staring us right in the face. Loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. The four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, a day, a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of all of mankind. I'm going to read that again. When they're loosed, their job is to slay a third part of all of men. Not all of the men in the war. A third part of all of mankind. I've got in the book out there that we just put out, and in the Bible study, I put in there something I found where they're already talking about World War III scenarios because we've got to decrease the surplus population of the earth. It's not sustainable. Remember the old Scrooge movie where he says, well, great, let's let them die. We've got to decrease the surplus population. Remember that? There are people that are already talking about World War III scenarios because the population of the earth, they say, is unsustainable. We need to decrease the surplus population. The absolute fastest way to do that is a war. The Bible says there's a war coming that's going to kill one-third of all the people on the earth. It's a prophecy. There's not one-tenth of 1% chance it's not going to happen. It's the sixth trumpet, and the first five trumpets have already occurred in just the last over 110 years. It's a 2,000-year-old prophecy. It's staring us right in the face. So if I wasn't ready to meet Jesus, you couldn't keep me out of this. And that's why it's good to have a good Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church in your area, one that you know teaches the truth. Because I'm telling you what, people, there's so many of them that are going sideways. I'm watching it. I run in the radio, television, media world. That's mainly what I do. And I do these conferences on the weekend. And I'm seeing people that are supposed to be religious that would blow your mind. I'm not going to talk about them, but I'm just saying, wow, 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 wow. Oh, my goodness. In the end time, you better make sure you are super glued to a church that all their goal is to get you to heaven. Okay? We're not here just to say, hey, look at our big giant church, but nobody's going to heaven. I'd rather have 50 people that were going than 10,000 people and not one person leaves the ground when that trumpet sounds. Okay? So I'm telling you, that's the most important thing. So when you find a good Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church in your area, I happen to be standing one. I know these guys. I know what they teach. I know what their doctrine is. The pastor is licensed with the same organization I am. And if I was in this area, I know where I'd go. Because I know what these guys teach. And their goal is to get you to heaven, period. That's it. There's no ulterior motives. That's it. And so it's very, 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 very important. Because I'm telling you, the Bible talks about a world religious system that's being established. And I know evangelical churches, major evangelical churches in the United States that are already signed on to that. And I've talked to people about it. And they say, not my church. And I said, your church did it back in 1994. And you don't even know about it yet. You better know. Make sure you know what your boards are doing. Okay. Got to be a part of a good Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. The Bible says this war is going to slay a third part of men, and a 200 million man army is going to participate in that. Okay. So, this war, the Middle East region, it's the Euphrates is housed in Turkey, starts in Turkey, flows down through Syria, through Iraq, and the final portion flows right there between Iraq and Iran, where the Tigris and the Euphrates River meet. About 50, 60 miles there, it forms the border. So, there's four nations that house that river. So 100% of that nation is controlled by Islam. You say, what's going to happen with Islam? A lot of them are going to be destroyed. They're going to participate in this war. World War III is going to emanate out of that region right there. And Islam is certainly going to be involved in a war because all that region is controlled by Islam. And as a result of the war, with current population, about 2.7 billion people are going to be killed. Now, I'm not here to try to scare you, but I'm telling you, this war is coming. And there will be a lot of people that perish in that war. And that's what's going to be the great reset. On the heels of this war, that's going to be the entrance ramp for the Antichrist. Most of the nations will yield up their sovereignty. The United Nations right now is really a paper tiger. They'll pass resolutions, but we've got UN Security Council veto power. Five nations. The five victor nations of World War II. We can veto whatever. China, Russia, France, Great Britain, and the United States. We can veto any resolution that comes out of the General Assembly. There are many people that are trying to do away with that vote, that veto, and make it so that way they can pass resolutions, and the United States would have to abide by their edicts. And right now we can veto anything. That's why when Russia invaded Ukraine, they passed resolutions against it, but Russia, who is one of the entities that is involved in it, vetoed it. No, we want to invade, so we're vetoing it. And there's nothing the United Nations can do that's galling them. So they want to be able to dictate that's coming. And it's going to be on the heels of this World War III. On the heels of World War III, what's happened is throughout time, the heels of World War I, you had the answer to the international community was World War. World Government. You had the League of Nations. But the United Nations, the nations of the world didn't buy into it. So they thought, well, that crisis must not have been big enough. So we need another crisis. Guess what? 20 years later, World War II. And on the heels of that, World War II, the concentration camps were liberated, and the bombs were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki in 1945. That year, in San Francisco, they signed the United Nations Charter, the second effort towards a world government. But the nations would still not yield up their sovereignty and their armies to this world governing body, because five victor nations had UN Security Council veto power. So guess what? World War II, which had about 52 million plus killed in it, it wasn't a big enough crisis. Guess what's coming? The Bible says World War III, Revelation 9, verse 13 through 21. On the heels of that, the cry for peace will be so deafening, the majority of the nations on the planet will yield up their sovereignty and their armies to a world governing body. The Bible says the Antichrist will face resistance all the way to the end. But the nations will yield up their sovereignty to this world-governing body, and there will come a time when the Antichrist will usurp authority over that. He'll usurp authority over world government, the false prophet will usurp authority over a fully functioning world religious system, and the Antichrist and the false prophet will use a fully functioning economic sanctioning system to make the people of the world, individuals, bow down to their edicts. That system is being established. In my mind, one of the main ways is through this central bank digital currency system, and I'll talk to you about that in the morning. There are numbering systems being established as well, but the central bank digital currency system, it's an economic sanctioning system. And I'll tell you how I know that, and we'll talk about the Federal Reserve and what it really was and how it was established in the morning. It's going to flip you out because our government is not running America. You think that Joe Biden is, and everybody's like, Joe Biden, Bidenomics and all that stuff. Joe Biden's doing what he's told. That's it. Obama did what he was told. I'm telling you, the guys that run the country, you don't know their name. It's all by grand design, okay? So, since Islam does not appear in the world government of the Antichrist, remember they're European nations in Revelation 13, they've either been wiped out or greatly weakened, and Islam population is presently 1.8 billion. So, much of Islam, they're not going to be wiped out. Because I know that Persia, which is Iran, is going to come down against Israel to battle at the Battle of Armageddon. That's Ezekiel 38. So they're not going to be wiped out, but they'll be greatly diminished. But there's still going to have to be another close to a billion people killed. And most of the population centers are in that region of the world. Probably much of China will be wiped out as well. They're not mentioned in the end time Bible prophecies either. Unless they're the 200 million man army that participates in World War III. Again, man, we're already past time. I got a little bit more. Is anybody cool? You good? Okay. Pastor? Okay. So here we go. I got four slides. So will Iran realize its global vision and eradicate Israel and Zionism? And the United States, I will add. Let me talk to you about Mahdiism. What's really going on in the Middle East right now? Well, the Middle East Forum and the Middle East Institute, these are entities that are designed specifically to, the reason for existence is to help the United States, especially the next one, the Middle East Institute. They're designed to help the United States know exactly what's going on in the Middle East. That's their sole reason for existence. Not so much the Middle East Forum, which I'm on now, but the Middle East Institute, what I'm getting to. They've got an article. These guys know what's going on, but it's like our government is ignoring it. Mahdiism, the apocalyptic ideology behind Iran's nuclear program. Can you all read that title? Okay. The next one, the Middle East Institute, Iran's Revolutionary Guard Corps, and the rising cult of Mahdiism, missiles and militias for the apocalypse. What in the world is Mahdiism? That's what I want to talk to you about. Mahdiism is all three Abrahamic religions have a messianic figure. The Christians have Jesus Christ. We're looking for him to come back. The Jews believe the Messiah is coming back, which they will soon recognize. They will soon realize he is Jesus. But the Muslims have what's called the Mahdi, or the 12th Imam. And this is what, when the Ayatollahs took over Iran, they started pushing and indoctrinating their terrorist proxies, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, which is, it's not really their military. It's kind of like would be maybe our Navy SEALs, maybe an elite special unit. They're designed to indoctrinate these terrorist proxies that they're in control of, that we need to annihilate. So they believe when their Messiah figure comes, they believe he's alive and living in a well over in Iran somewhere, believe it or not. President Ahmadinejad he spent millions and millions of dollars building a highway from Tehran all the way out to this little town where this well is, because he wants to have everybody, the Mahdi, to have a straight shot on this highway when he comes out of this well. Now that's their belief system. Well, anyway, they believe that they're spreading this false narrative. They're indoctrinating their people that when the Mahdi comes, he will bring peace and justice to the world, and he will implement the Shiite version of Sharia law globally. If that was done, none of you ladies could have drove here tonight, and we would only see your eyeballs. Many times, not even your hands. You'd have to have this big thing on, and all we would see is your eyeballs if you were allowed to come tonight at all by your husband. So it's not too nice. The ladies are treated horrific over there, like dogs. Well, anyway, they believe when their Mahdi figure comes back, he will bring peace and justice and implement that kind of law and create a world governing body with that kind of law behind it for everybody on the planet. Well, they see the United States and our efforts to establish a world governing body in the way of them doing that. And they believe that we have established Israel in the Middle East as our footprint, or our first effort of encroachment into the Middle East. So, they believe to quicken the coming of their Messiah figure, they need to destroy Israel and the United States, and that will quicken the coming of their Messiah. That's what the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps are indoctrinating these terrorist proxies with, and they believe it. They're willing to die for it. So, this is what we're facing. On October 7th, then we'll talk about this maybe a little bit in the morning, but they told their terrorist proxies, because they brought Israel brought five red heifers, that is an affront to the Temple Mount, because they believe Israel needs, everybody knows that Israel needs a red heifer so they can purify Israel for the so they can resume the sacrifices, the rituals in the temple. So Iran knew this. They used that, and they said because of the Saudi Arabia normalization deal with Israel, those are the two mains. I've got documentation that the leaders of Hamas said that those are the two main reasons why we were given the green light to invade Israel, to stop the Saudi Arabia deal and to put this red heifer thing on ice. Because Israel ignored that at this point. They went right down and started fighting in Gaza. But it's all because of this Mahdiist false doctrine that they're pushing, this belief system. Well, the Middle East Institute and some of these others, they're writing articles like this constantly saying, hey, America, government, here's what's going on, and we're ignoring it. That's really what's going on in the Middle East, this Mahdiist doctrine. They're trying to destroy Israel and the United States to quicken the coming of their Mahdi. They believe they're religiously bound to do it. The Russia-Ukraine thing, that's geopolitical. The China-Taiwan, that's geopolitical. This is religious. This is God and Satan fighting here. And so, this is really what's going on. It's a religious battle, and I believe it's Satan trying to thwart what God wants to do in the Middle East. And in one way or another, I mean, we'd have to talk about that and have the conversation. Let me explain myself. Won't have time to do that tonight. But that's what's going on. Mahdiism. If you really want to know what's going on in the Middle East, think about Mahdiism and read up on it and check it out. There's tons of articles on it. So what's the world going to look like after World War III? The Center for World Power is going to swing to Europe, which will be Great Britain, Russia, Germany, and the EU. Most of the Christians, Protestant and Catholic, they're going to align themselves with the Antichrist and his one-world governing system. I can prove that scripturally. The lessons that you're going to go through is 14 lessons. Lessons 10 and 11 are specifically devoted to the end-time world religious system. Again, a lot of this is centered around Rome. Rome is doing some things that's horribly debaucherous. If you read the news at all, you can see what I'm saying. The Pope just agreed that they should bless same-sex unions if it's not a marriage. I've got Catholic friends that are going, what in the world just happened? And I'm going, I don't know. I'm telling you, but there are a lot of big churches, the Methodist Church, all kinds of stuff. They're promoting all these kinds of things. So a lot of these big churches are going to go right into this. Okay? Because once you compromise on one truth, it's easy to just start, hey, let's just open the door for the whole thing. You can't compromise on anything. That's why I say it's of utmost importance to be part of a good Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church that will not sway when the winds of all these doctrines comes blowing through here. And with COVID and everything that happens, you've got to have a church that will stand like the Rock of Gibraltar or the Rock of Jesus Christ, more than that. That's where we're at. So we're standing on it. We're standing on Jesus Christ and the rock that he built his church on. The Antichrist and false prophets are going to rule the world. This is on the backside of this World War III. And then the Mark of the Beast will eventually be used to force allegiance. And we'll go through timelines and things in this Bible study. Forge allegiance to the world government and the world religious system. Okay. Final slide right here. What should we do? Revelation 18:4. God gave a plea when he's talking to John about these end-time world religions and things that are going to be established. John said, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. I know people in all these religions, regardless of what it is, that are sincere. I was taught this my whole life. I love God. I'm doing the best I can from what I've been taught. But I know now that I may not have been taught the full truth. Okay, I'm seeing some things happening in these churches, and God said, what do I do? Come out of her, my people. People that love me and that are sincere, come out. You can't. Because it says that you be not a partakers of her sins and you receive not of her plagues. God's going to judge that in the end time. Revelation 17 and 18 are parenthetical chapters talking about the judgment of those churches. God's going to judge that. God says, come out of her, my people. We've got to return to the pattern set for us in the book of Acts. This is my last thing. And the book of Acts, you get the born-again plan of salvation is given there. They and the Bible says, post their born-again experience, they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. Most people in the Christian world, if I was to ask them what those four are, most of them would sit there and look at me like, what? I had a guy ask me the other day, what's the apostles' doctrine? But the Bible says they continue steadfastly. We've got to get back to where we're teaching those four things. Almost the entire book of the entire New Testament was them teaching people how to live as Christians post their born again experience. Once you're born again, that's the day one. Then you got to be discipled past that, and that's what the apostles did. They established churches and they were discipling people and they were raising people up and preparing people to start new churches. And I mean, it was just growing and moving. That's the church. God established that, and that's what we need to be doing. You need to be a part of that. We got to return to those patterns set for us in the book of Acts. And then finally, what's the role of the church in the end time? And such as do wickedly against the covenant, shall he, the Antichrist, this is during the time of the Antichrist, shall he corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God. Does anybody here know your God tonight? Come on. Those that do know their God, they're going to be, read it, they're going to be weak and anemic, right, and hiding in a foxhole. No, it says they that do know their God will be strong, and they're going to do exploits, and they that understand among the people. I thought nobody could understand this stuff. That's not what Daniel said. Did Daniel come up to this off just on a whim one night because he ate too much pizza before he went to bed? No, God gave him this stuff. They that understand among the people, in the end time, they're going to instruct many. And some of them are going to fall by sword, by flame, by captivity, by spoil many days. You say, well, I didn't think Christians would have to suffer anything. Have you ever read a history book? Christians, 11 of the 12 of the first apostles were martyred. But we get here in 2024 and say, I shouldn't have to suffer anything. Now, I want to do this church thing, but don't ask me to go through anything. Do you want to be a Christian or don't? You got to get over this mindset of, the Bible says you're going to have turmoil, you're going to have tribulations. My tires have went flat on my vehicles. I've had problems with my truck. I've had problems with my water heater. Blah, blah, blah. You say, but you're a Christian. Everything's supposed to be going rosy and perfect. Where's the Bible say that at? You know what? You know what my hope and faith and trust is in? That when that trumpet sounds, I'm out of here. I don't care what this minuscule stuff is. When that trumpet sounds and my feet leave the ground, it's all worth it, right? Okay. The church has a role in the end time. Everybody stand. You're ready to stand, and I'm ready to sit down. I want to tell you I love you guys. We come up here. I know the pastor loves y'all. That's why he had us up here. And this is our radio and television program right here. That's why we've been so censored. I will tell you the Jim Baker program, they have told us we don't care. We'll never leave you guys. We're never going to kick you off. TBN and Daystar kicked us off because they just kicked us off. But we've had many. TCT and Word, all of them are like, nah, everybody needs to hear this. I'm participating in an expo at Jim Baker's mid-April, and I told them, I said, well, I don't necessarily teach like everybody else. And they're like, we don't care. Everybody needs to hear what you guys got to say. I'm like, okay, you're going to hear it. That's part of it. But somebody's got to know the truth, guys. And they recognize, all Mondo and all those guys, they recognize that they want to know all the truth as well, regardless. So they bring all kinds of people over. It's cool. Anyway, I love you guys. I love your pastor and his wife, and I'm so thankful they brought us up here. I've never been to Connecticut. I think my father-in-law did one of these in Connecticut years ago, 18 years ago. But, I'm sorry? 2011. And so it's been a while. I've never been to Connecticut before, like I say, but thank you all for having us up here. We love you guys. And I just want everybody to get to heaven. I'm not trying to get your money. I don't want anything from you. When the trumpet sounds, if everybody in here, your feet leaves the ground, Pastor, we were a smashing success in this life. I mean, come on, that's the best thing. And so I know that that's your pastor's goal. That's why your pastor had us up here. Because he wants everybody to know the truth here, and very thankful to you, sir, for having us up here, and everybody for treating us so nice. So, you got? I'm done. You got anything you want to say? Closing. You